ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷി പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിതിലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ. നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ. സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാല് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ ഈശോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മേ. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകുണിതാദൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജംഭദാം മുരാരേ മധുരിംന കനികാപി കാപി കാപി. നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ శ్రీమతీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ట యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజితచక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేషమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శమళోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమ శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So today we will start talking about the glorification, the Srimad Bhagavatam from King Muchukunda. Muchukunda was a king in the Solar Dynasty. There you will see Mandhadav. Mandhadav is one of the great personalities in that. Mandhadav had 50 daughters and 3 boys. One of them is Ambarish, other one is our this Muchukunda. So Saubhari, another great sage, he married the 50 daughters. That story you can read in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. You will find their history. Whole of Solar Dynasty in the first 13 chapters in the ninth canto is the history of the Solar Dynasty. So in that Solar Dynasty, Muchukunda comes immediately after Ambarish's time, because they were all the children of Mandhadav. Mandhadav was a famous personality. Mandhadav has also got a great history. How the name he got, Mandhadav, Indra put the thumb into his mouth and he was fed by, because he was born in a very strange circumstances. The Bhagavatam, you can read all that story. So great, great personalities, great kings, only their history is spoken in the Bhagavatam. There are many others who are just left out. Suka Brahmarshi, Sudeva Goswami did not bother to write, talk about everyone whom he felt important. Only their story is spoken in the ninth canto. So that's where comes Mandhadav's children, Ambarish, Muchukunda. And Muchukunda was a great yogi. Ashtanga Yogam, he was an expert in that. In the Ashtanga Yoga process, he was very highly qualified personality. You will also notice in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about that, but not directly referring to Muchukunda. Imam Vivasvade Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam, in the fourth chapter begins like that, is it not? വൈവസ്വാൻ മനുവേ പ്രാഹ മനു ഇക്ഷാകുവേ ബ്രവീത്. യു നോ, സോ ദർ ഫ്രം വൈവസ്വാൻ ക്രംസ് മനു, വൈവസ്വത മനു, ദൻ ഇക്ഷാകു, ഇക്ഷാകു ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ലീനിയേജ് ദർ കംസ് മാന്ധാതാവ് ഓൾസോ. But what is interesting about this Mandhadava is, Mandhadava, when he saw Krishna in the cave, this is just the beginning of the incident. What happened was, Mandhadava says to Krishna that this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, what has been in existence from time immemorial, even before Krishna appeared in the world, prior to Ramchandra appeared in the world, even long before than that, this knowledge what appeared in the world got lost, he's saying. Mandhadava says this to Krishna. So in other words, when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Sakale Neha Mahata Yogo Nashta Varandava, he says to Arjuna, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see there in the fourth chapter that Krishna says there that Sakale Neha Mahata Yogo Nashta Varandava. So that's the second verse in the, ഏവം പരമ്പരാപ്രാപ്തം ഇമം രാജർഷയോ വിദു സ കാലേ നേഹമഹത യോഗോ നഷ്ട പരന്തവ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദയർ ടു അർജുന. സോ വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻഡ് വാസ് ദിസ് നോളജ് വാട്ട് വാസ് ദയർ ഇറ്റ് ഗെറ്റ്സ് ലോസ്റ്റ് വെരി ഓഫൺ, വെരി ഓഫൺ ഇറ്റ് ഗെറ്റ്സ് ലോസ്റ്റ്. മാന്ധാദാസ് ടൈം ഓൾസോ ഇറ്റ് ഗോട്ട് ലോസ്റ്റ്. ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് വൈ മാന്ധാദാ സേസ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ, യു ഹാവ് ടു ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ട് മീ നൗ on this transcendental knowledge. All the great personalities prior to me in the solar dynasty, they were all realized souls. They went to forest and they spent their rest of their life there, self-realized and went back to the spiritual world. They realized the truth. But somewhere in the line, it got lost, which happens all the time. All the time this happens. It's not that it remains all the time. It gets, very often it gets lost. And Krishna says to Arjuna, same thing, it has happened in the Sakale Nehamar. Due to the influence of time, it gets lost. That is the nature of spiritual knowledge. It won't stay in the proper way in this world, which you can see all the time. Great Mahatmas appear here, and they will, from their realizations, they will start a movement or start an institution or something. As soon as they go, it's gone with that. Then it doesn't stay. By the time second, third generations, it will be something else going on there. It's just everywhere. It's not only in one institution. It's all the institution. That's how it happens. So when Krishna says that imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vaivasvan manave praha manu rikshagave bravid, Krishna means to say there that only those kings who had got that message and realized it, only they are taken into account. For example, in so many traditions we have, isn't it? The Advaita tradition, Vishishta Advaita tradition, Dvaita tradition, Shuddha Advaita tradition, Kevala Advaita tradition, and then Vaishnava Sampradayams, all of them exist there. But you couldn't say that all of them are in their full realizations. Because the persons who have started their parampara system, that parampara can get broken in this way. Physically everything will be there. The institution will be there, the people will be there, everything will be there. But sakale yogo nashta parandava. Krishna says that very clearly. The yogam has gone. Yogam has, shastram is there, but the yogam has gone. Realization is not there. So that is what happens in spiritual life. So here, this Mandhadava situation is one of those situations like that what happened in the history. In the great dynasty, solar dynasty, prior to Ramachandra, Dasharatha, Dilip, Raghu, so many personalities like that who appeared. But you couldn't say that all of them were self-realized, the truth. Many of them had, Shukra Sukadeva Goswami did not bother to list everybody, because for him what mattered was those who have realized the truth. That's what he is interested in telling us. And that's why in the ninth canto, whom you find, often you will find some break in the parampara system. Some names he has just mentioned and then he has left it, didn't say further than that. Some of them he has spoken in depth, for example Ambarish Maharaj, Harishchandra, and similarly the Suganya, and that Suganya's story with that Chavana Maharshi, all that you will see there. Ayadi story is spoken. Because they were all personalities who had spiritually very higher position. And that's what it matters to Sudeva Goswami. So, in the Bhagavatam, so this Mujukunda, when he met Krishna, he says to him, I am in the Ichwaku's parambara. Ichwaku is coming in the solar dynasty, isn't it? Imam Vivasvade Yogam, Proktavanaham Avyayam, Vaivasvan Manuve Praha, Manu Ichwaguve Bravid. So that Ichwaku's parambara, I have come and I am a very humble Kshatriya, he says to, and my name is Mujukunda, I am the son of Mandhadav, he says. I'm the son of Mandhadav, my name is Mujukunda. That is how he introduced to himself to Krishna. So imagine, if you look into the history, that Mandhadav's incident happened long ago. Mandhadav was in the world long before Krishna has come here. And since then, so many things happened. He went to the heavenly planets, fought the war with the other demigods there. He helped them to fight the war against the demons there in the heavenly planets. And then after receiving this benediction from there to come and sleep, here he has been sleeping in that cave for such a long time, waiting for Krishna to come. He didn't know that Krishna was going to come like that, but he had spent a lot of time, even before Krishna's appearance in this world, he had spent a lot of time in this world. And he is one king from the solar, Krishna is in the lunar dynasty, you have to remember that also. Krishna is in the lunar dynasty, which comes after the solar dynasty. The solar dynasty is a breakaway that came out as lunar dynasty, from the Pururavas onwards. Pururavas is the first person who started the lunar dynasty, it came out in that way. So, way back, and Krishna comes in the lunar dynasty, isn't it? Ramchandra comes in the solar dynasty. So, way before the appearance of Krishna, Mandhadav was in this world, in this planet. And Mandhadav had gone through a lot before what he has experienced. He mentioned some of the things to Krishna also in his prayers. But before going to this Muchukunda's glorifications in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll talk a few things important. Salsangam importance is Shravanam, hearing. Shravana Pradhanam, it is called. Shravana Pradhanam means hearing is the most important thing. So that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is spoken as Katha. We say Katha, isn't it? Katha means, Katha means normally in someone's life what all has happened. How did he, different incidents, what has happened, and talking about a person's life in this world generally. Normally that's what we will say about Katha, isn't it? Katha means something that is spoken about some other people, or some incident, what has happened, or a person's life in this world. You can say it is Katha. It is Katha. So, Katha, you will see in the Ramayanam also spoken about this word Katha. Kathayamama, Kathayamama. It goes on like that. Katha, talk about the Katha, Ramchandra's Katha, Krishna's Katha. All Katha, people are interested to hear this Katha. So Katha means to be spoken about, but speak what? That is what we mention here, that whatever we speak about great personalities like that, then it becomes satsangam. So very simple answer is that if you talk about Krishna, if you talk about anything related with the Absolute Truth, then it is salsangam. But that in a deeper level, if you talk about that, what is important, that is if you talk in a normal way. Many of the people will understand about Katha in that way. That's how they will understand. In much more deeper level, what do you say? What you will talk about Katha? That if you want to find out, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, there's a little bit more a clarity or a little bit more understanding when Prithu talks to the Kumaras, the four Kumara. You will find that in the fourth canto. If you look into the fourth canto, you will see Prithu says to him, give me 10,000 years to hear the katha, he says. That is in the fourth canto, 20th chapter. It is 20th chapter, verse 24. In the fourth canto, chapter 20, verse 24. There Prithu says to him, Prithu, Maitreya Maharshi is saying here, Prithu is talking about, Prithu is mentioning this. He says there, Nakama yena tatadapyaham kochil nayatra yushma charanam bhujasava mahattamandara kradayan mukhachyutho vidhalsva karnayutame shame varam nakama yena tatadapyaham kochil. That there Prithu is giving a little bit more insight into what is katha means. Katha is just not speaking about the story of somebody in the story, in the world, some their life in this world. He says here, na nama yena tatadapyaham kochil. That he says, when great devotees, when they are great jnanis, when they talk about the truth, absolute truth, from their realizations, when it comes through their lips, it has an impact on everyone who hears that. Everybody who hears that. Nayatra yushma charanam bhujasavam. What will happen? Mahattamandara hrayam bhujachyutom. Those great souls, from their face, when it falls down, comes out, vithalsva karnayutame shame vara. Give me tens and thousands of years so I can capture that. That means what we in Sanskrit they call it as anubhuti. I think the closest word you can say is realizations. When they speak, because when they talk, for example here, Maitreya Maharshi, he is speaking from that realized state, isn't it? So when he is talking from that realized state, what comes out through them is the realizations. Their realizations, which is different, because it is different when someone speaks without realization, one speaks with realization. The great sages, when they talk, they are fully on that platform, and therefore that whatever they speak about the truth, it is coming as it is from them, without any ragab dvesham or any vasanas involved in there. Like we speak, all our vasanas will come through our words. All our ragadvesham, everything comes through that. But personalities like Maitreya Maharshi and others, when they talk, it is from their properly situated in that state. You can say like that. In that state, not affected by the jagrat, svapnam, sushupti, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, beyond the three modes, they are talking from them. And therefore, whenever we hear that, it has an immediate effect on everyone who hears that. That's what he says here. Na kama yena tatadapyaham kochil nayatra yushma charanam bhujasava mahattamandara hrdayan mukhachyuto vidhalsa karnayutame shame vara. Says, then if I get an opportunity to hear like that, Prithu Maharaj says, I won't even ask for liberation, he says. Because what I need now to hear this, I need thousands and thousands of, 10,000 years, he says there. 10,000 years, give me 10,000 years. Vidhalsa karnayutame shame vara. So you can see salsangam is like that. So another, in reference to this, one acharya says here that actually Prithu Maharaj has put it only 10,000 he wants. Actually, it's more than that, he says. That every single cell in the body should be able to take that message when it comes from their face of these great souls. So he says that every single cell should become a ear to hear the message, to hear the message. That is how he puts it. So that means complete the body itself become
like an ear, able to realize, hear everything. So every great personality is in the bhakti process, like you can say, like the Alvars, Nayanvars, and all of them, in their books what they wrote, Tiruvachakam, similarly, Tevaram, Divya Prabandham, and all that, in all of them, they will say the same thing. They will put it in a different way. Here, Pridhu has spoken in this way, but when in the Tiruvachakam, it says in a different way. It says there, my heart wakes up, he says, and the heart should melt. That's how he says there. It is their experience of that. When they hear about Krishna, about the truth, how they experience it inside the heart. Directly, the experience goes into the heart, untouched by the mind or the intelligence. That's the most important thing. Untouched by the mind or intelligence. If it goes directly into the heart, and if it's experienced by the devotees, that is the benefit of Shravanam. That is when Shravanam really happens. Shravanam is not what we hear with the mind, with the ears, and polluted with our mind and our vasanas, and then the message gets changed. So, Prithu Maharaj says this, that that bhavam, that mood, bhakti, Prithu says here, and in every cell, let me have an ear to hear this. Mahatamandar hrayambuja chido vidalsa karnaida meshamevara. So, why is it so? It is not simply katha then. It is not simply katha. Because these mahalpas and the jnanis and these great souls, what we refer to as jivanmukta, liberated persons in this world, or jnani, realized souls, they have actually experienced the Upanishad's conclusions. In other words, Upanishad's conclusions. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, so many things are spoken, but when such realized souls, Bhagavatam gives them the name as Bhagavadottama. They call it as Bhagavadottama. You can see in reference to Bhagavadottama, whom do they call Bhagavadottama? Bhagavadottama is referred to what is a first class devotee? The question comes, isn't it? In connection with the conversation between Nimi and Navayogi. Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. So there, Hari Maharshi talks about the three classes of devotees. Three classes of devotees. And there, he mentions there that Savai Bhagavadottama. Isn't it? Savai Bhagavadottama. Who are the Bhagavadottama? What is that verse? In the second chapter, okay, we'll talk later. So, Savai Bhagavadottama is a word used in the Bhagavadam. In the language of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are called Bhagavadottama. In the languages of the jnanis, they are called Jivanmuktas. It's all one and the same. We may, whatever they are speaking is coming from their realizations. That's the most important thing. We call them by different names, Bhagavadottama, Jivanmukta, Jnani, Parama Bhagavatam, all kinds of explanations in the Bhagavatam. So, important thing is, their anubhuti, their realization, what they are carrying with them in their heart, that topic that comes out, what they have experienced, in other words. In other words, it's after experiencing it that they are speaking, not before experiencing it. We are talking before experiencing it, but they are talking after experiencing it, which is a big difference, isn't it? So, that is why to bring that realization through words is very difficult. To bring that realization through words is very difficult. Because the pure vibration that comes from the Paranadam, sound has got four different stages. Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. We know that. It is spoken in the 12th chapter on the 11th canto also. So when the sound in its most pure form is that Paranadam, it's called pure form, it is a Paranadam. So one who has touched the Para, when they speak, what comes out is different when we speak with our Vaikari, isn't it? Ours is Vaikari. Vaikari, by the time Vaikari, it comes through the Manomaya Kosham, it comes through the lips, it gets more and more contaminated practically. Para's beauty, one who has touched the Para, Paranadam, one who has touched that Para, that stage, so whatever they have experienced in that, and from their experience they are saying this. That is why it is different. That is why hearing from them is so different. For example, in this case, Maitreya Maharshi, who is talking, four Kumaras, personalities like them. So you will see, that is why in the Prithu Maharaj glorification, Prithu Maharaj Prithu Stuti, if you will see there, even if I don't hear what they have spoken, even if the wind that carries the sound to me, if I touch by that wind, that is sufficient, he says. I don't even have to hear the sound, but even the wind that carries that sound, and if it hits my body somewhere, even that is sufficient. This is how he puts it. So he says that, because there you will notice one thing, very next verse, to get this clear understanding, what is Katha? Katha is not just an incident somewhere happened some years ago, or their story what happened in this world. Most of the people take it like that because they do not see the subtle side of that. So that's why, to remove that misunderstanding, in the very next verse, what Prithu said, if you see in these prayers, sa uttama shlokam ahanmukhachyuto bhavalpadham bojasudha kananilaha smridim punar vismrida tattva varpanam kuyoginam novidam atyalam vareihi. What he wanted to say is that uttama shlokam ahanmukhachyuto, even the wind that blows, that anubhuti, that realizations, what these great souls, they carry with them. Bhaval padam bhojas kunsutha kana nilam. So, if somebody gets affected, hit by that breeze or the wind, even kuyogino no vidaranyalam malai, it says, kuyogino no vidaratyalam varai. Even Kuyogi, who have no idea about spiritual life, who does not understand anything about the soul or spiritual realization, even they will become self-realized by hearing from them, from such, by hearing from those great souls. So he mentions also, smridim finarm vismrda tattvavarpanam. What he gets is tattvajnanam. That's the result. Tattvavarpanam means tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam comes to him. And what happens? Tattvajnanam means punar smridim punar vismridam. Our present position in this world, we are in a forgotten state. We are in a forgotten state. What have we forgotten? We have forgotten about ourselves. That's what we have forgotten. We are all sitting here now thinking that everything is fine. But actually what Krishna is saying to us, we have forgotten ourselves. The moment we have taken this material body and living in this world under the identity of one name or the other, that means you have lost your real identity in the spiritual world, spiritual position, spiritual identity, and on a false identity of this material body, we are now living here in this world. That's why it is spoken like that. That's what he says, smridim punar vismrida tattva varpanam. When tattvarpanam, tattvajnanam happens, what happens? That forgetfulness, what has happened to him, goes away. And the old memory, what we were, it comes back to us. You see? That's how spiritual life is. Smridim punar vismriti tattvarpanam. At the moment, we don't know what we are. We are just here in this body, thinking that this is I am. And I am living here in this understanding. It is the greatest the stupidity in this world. We all have identified with this body to such an extent and consider ourselves to be this body and living here, forgetting completely that what we are actually. And that is what that word is saying. Smridim punar vismriti tattva varpanam. What we have forgotten is something very important. What we have forgotten, and we are here in this bodily identity, and that forgotten identity comes back to us. That is Tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam means that, for getting back that lost identity, the lost identity, getting it back, that is Tattvajnanam. So that will happen when we hear from the realized souls. He mentions that there. So, you can see here, we have, for us, a great forgetfulness has happened. We have lost we are in a great forgotten state at the moment. Smaller forgetfulness is okay, small things. If you forget, it doesn't matter. But what we have forgotten is something really big. Because, just like nowadays we have, you know this illness, Alzheimer, dementia and all that. People have that, a lot of people get it and they suffer from that, isn't it? They just don't know who they are, what they are. When it comes to the extreme state, it happens to them. But Bhagavatam is saying to us, you can live with that. Because it's only for a short period of time till you leave this body. But what we have forgotten, the Alzheimer or the dementia, what we have got now, is a lot more serious than that. Because we have completely forgotten what we are and rotting in this world, in one identity with this body, and suffering through the cycle of birth and death. Sudeva Goswami is asking, is there anything worse than this state, this situation? That you have forgotten what we are and you come here, and this greatest forgetfulness is that we have forgotten our own identity, what is called Swarupam. Swarupam is our pure identity, isn't it? So, when we say we have forgotten our Swarupam, means we have forgotten Krishna, isn't it? Krishna is our Swarupam. Swarupam is Krishna's soul. It's Krishna, it's pronounced. So, our forgotten identity, and today we don't know what we are. That's our present state. If somebody asks a question, who are you? We'll answer by our name or some identification from the passport or some personal identification, whatever it is. That's how you will identify here. But important thing is, this forgetfulness is the cause of creation. If you understand Bhagavatam, you will see the beautiful side of Bhagavatam. How Vedavyasa Maharshi is so sharp in these things. This forgetfulness is the cause of creation. Creation happened from forgetfulness. When you forget this identity, what we are, creation happens. World comes. Creation, everything comes to you when you forget your identity as the soul. Forgetfulness has happened. Creation has started. When you get back to your identity as the soul on the spiritual life, spiritual world, creation goes. There is no creation after that. This is how creation and we are connected in this way. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this happening. How does it come? Comes here, Srishti, creation started, and Brahma is sitting on the lotus flower, isn't it? Brahma is sitting on a lotus flower. Now, normally when you read Bhagavatam, you will think, oh, how was this lotus flower? You were sitting on that. It's amazing, isn't it? People will start asking that question. Brahma is sitting on a lotus flower. We will read like that. That is how in the Puranam all stories are like that. That, oh, there is a lotus flower, and they'll say that some people ask this question. Lotus flower is not all that beautiful, is it? Isn't there the smell of a rose or another beautiful flowers compared to many other flowers which are more. But when they present it through Puranam, you will notice this, that there will be some reason behind it. Why lotus flower, no other flower? So, in the Bhagavatam, he asked a question that first thing, when he sat in that lotus flower, first question Brahma asked, who am I? Because he was confused, wasn't he? If you look into the third canto, you will see that question also. Let's look at that because it's important. How this thing comes out. He mentions there, that in the third canto, 8th chapter, 18th verse, First question. When from the navel, Vishnu's navel, the lotus flower came out. A large stem, and on the top this lotus flower. And Brahma is sitting there, he looked all four directions and he couldn't see anything. Nobody was there. And he was thinking, first question he asked, who am I? We never ask that question. That's the only question we won't ask. Every other question we will ask in this world. Isn't it? See the difference? Our own great-great-great-grandfather Brahma, the first question he asked was, who am I? Who am I sitting here in this lotus flower? And that is why he says here, and then he looked down, he saw there is a lotus flower, and where is this lotus flower coming from? He says, where is this lotus flower coming from? And how? Where is it fixed? How does it stay like this, in this way? So, there must be something where it is anchored, this large stem of the Lord. Otherwise, it can't stay like this. This is how Brahma thought first. That's why in that verse you will see, ka esha yo savaham abja prashta, edal kudo vabja ananya dapsu, astikya dastadiha kinchaneidam, adishtidam yatra sadhanu bhavyam. Sadhanu bhavyam. Then, in the next verse says, Brahma, what he did was, thinking like this, he got into that stem and he started going through that stem right into the all the way, because normally lotus flower will be in the water, isn't it? So he went through this stem for a very long way and ultimately found the water at the bottom where it was there, and he couldn't find out where it's all coming from, where it's coming from. So Maitreya Maharshi says there to Vidura, every living entity also is in the same state here. He doesn't know how he has come to this world. Somewhere he appears, just like Brahma appeared on the lotus flower. Then he doesn't think, never ask this question, never it comes to his mind. Why have I got here? Why am I here? Or how did I get here? And who am I? These three questions never comes to him. As soon as he comes here, first thing he says, how can I make a lot of money here? That's the first thing what he makes the plan. How to enjoy life here and how to stay here as permanently as possible, as much as long as you can. And then without any further thinking, straight away goes into action. That's what we do, is it not? So this is the difference. This is why Brahma has been brought out this thing here is, Brahma's mind, Brahma's thoughts went in this direction. That who am I? That was the first thing. Ka esha. Therefore, what happened was, when the Srishti created, that is Abjaprashtaha. Abjaprashtaha means one who is situated in the lotus flower. Lotus flower. Esha ha aham kaha. So, first question, aham kaha, who am I? Because of that, what happened was, Brahma asked this question, aham kaha, kaha kaha. He got the name Kaha. People started calling him by the name Kaha. So Brahma asked this, that's how he got this name Kaha. Kaha. From, because he didn't know that he was Brahma. Nobody knew, he didn't know about himself. He didn't know anything. He was just sitting on the lotus flower and asked, Aham Kaha, 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 he was asking. So everybody started calling him Kaha. That is his first name. Brahma was given. So that's why you will see how in Bhagavadam, how very subtly they have put it. The whole issue. Much later, at the end of Bhagavadam, there is this verse there, Kasmayena vibhasitoyamatulo jnana pradiba pura tudrupena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tudrupinam yogindraya tadalpanada bhagavadradaya karunyatam Tachruddham vimalam vishokam amrtam satyam param dhimahi.
You will see that in the 13th chapter,
19th verse. That is that verse. Then there, kasmai, you will see, kasmai yena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipa pura.
That this Bhagavadam is called jnana pradipam, torchlight of knowledge. That is how Bhagavadam itself is addressed as the torchlight of knowledge, jnana pradipam. So jnana pradipa pura kasmai yena. Who handed over this torchlight of knowledge? Kasmai, who received that? Without mentioning Brahma's name, kasmai, who got it? They are asking that question. So, so if you take the Bhagavadam, the commentary on this chapter, you will see, Bhagavan kasmai. Kasmai means, one meaning of this word kasmai is Brahma. Again, it's Brahma. So Brahma has this name called Kaha, and then he has also got this name Kasmai. All these are Brahma's name, depending on the situation where it was spoken. At the time when he came up in the lotus flower, he was called Kaha. Now at the end, Sudha Goswami says there, who heard Srimad Bhagavatam without referring to Brahma's name? He says, Kasmai yena vipasito yamatulo. Because we must understand this one important thing, that it is not spoken and heard. Actually, what's happening is, Krishna transmitted the message from the heart to Brahma's heart, not through the words. From the heart, Krishna transmitted the word to Brahma's heart. That is why it said kasmai. Kasmai yena vibhasita. Therefore, how they will say in the Shastram is, that it was not transmitted like in the way normally we transmit through words to one person to another, but it enlightens the other person. Krishna thought something, and immediately that knowledge was transmitted into Brahma's heart. Brahma realized it. Not through the words, by directly when Krishna wants something to happen in Brahma's heart, it happened. That's how it was given to Brahma. So Brahma receives that. If you look at the grammatically, you cannot say kasmai means Brahma. Grammatically, it's not correct, because this was a name given to him, like the word kaha has given. In other words, in a way that because it happened to Brahma, that kasmai refers to Brahma. Kasmai yena vibhasidoyam atulo jnana pradipa pura. Jnana pradipam. That jnanam got started shining in Brahma's heart. In other words, the jnanam, the knowledge, what Krishna wanted Brahma to realize it, he realized it within the heart, not transmitted directly from the face to other person. So therefore, kasmai yena vibhasidoyam adhulo jnana pradipa puram. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is jnana pradipam. Jnana pradipam. That means the light of knowledge. The light of knowledge. So who instructed and to whom it was instructed? And that is because actually we talked about this before also. The person who is instructing and the person who is receiving it are both Krishna. Krishna is instructing, Krishna is receiving it. That is why that verse is important. That's the only way you can understand Bhagavatam. Transmitted from Krishna, transmitted the message to Brahma. Sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna receives the message. Sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna spoke Bhagavatam. Sitting in Srinarada Maharshi's heart, Brahma received the message. Sitting in Srinarada Maharshi's heart, Krishna spoke Bhagavatam. And sitting is Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, Brahma received the message. Sorry, Krishna received the message. So Krishna is a speaker and Krishna is a listener. What you will notice in the Bhagavatam is, from Brahma heard Bhagavatam from Krishna. When we say like this, we say heard Bhagavatam. Brahma received Srimad Bhagavatam from Krishna. Srinarada Maharshi got Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma.
Vedavyasa Maharshi got Srimad Bhagavatam from Vedavyasa Maharshi got it from Narada Muni, and Sukadeva Goswami received Srimad Bhagavatam from Vedavyas. Parikshit Maharaj got Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva. That is where it finishes. And then we have one more there. Sudha Goswami got Srimad Bhagavatam from Sudev Goswami. So that is where that parampara finishes. And then after that, in a different way, Bhagavatam was spoken, which you know in the Bhagavata history, if you read, you will see there. We'll come to that later. So here, important thing is, staying in Brahma's heart, Krishna received this Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam means knowledge. Jnana Pradipa Pura mentions there, isn't it? So first time, the birth of knowledge, the appearance of this knowledge itself is in the heart of Brahma, in the heart of Lord Brahma. When Srimad Bhagavatam says like that, we have to understand in this way. So it is not something, this knowledge of the soul, Atmavidya, is not something that someone has invented at any time. It's not something somebody has invented at any time. All other knowledge is what we invent, isn't it? Discover, or we call it as invention. Technology and science, it's all invention and discovery and all that. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not been invented by anybody. It is not, it's another word of that is Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya is existed even before creation. Yeah. You have to get that subtlety of the whole thing. Only then you will value it properly. Brahmavidya existed before creation. And it was already there in Brahma's heart. It was given to Brahma by Krishna. In other words, this knowledge always existed. It was never invented. It's from knowledge everything comes. From knowledge everything comes. So, therefore, you will see while referring to this transcendental knowledge, it is normally mentioned that it is beyond time and space. Beyond time and beyond space. Although it may sound a little bit, normally our mind, I'm saying, used to take everything based on time and space, isn't it? Time, we give a lot of importance to time in our calculations. Suppose you tell someone, it is timeless wisdom. That is, Bhagavatam is timeless wisdom. Time cannot touch that, because even before time was invented, Bhagavatam existed. Bhagavatam means this knowledge. Knowledge of the soul existed in this, in the world, in the creation it happened. But when we say that, most of the people will think that how do we get to understand that knowledge exists, or because it from knowledge comes everything. Knowledge is the origin of everything. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita also, you'll notice there, that from me comes knowledge, forgetfulness and memory. What does that mean? Is knowledge is the knowledge and Krishna are non-different. Krishna is the knowledge. Knowledge is Krishna. That is why I say jnanam is bhakti, bhakti is jnanam. They are not different. Why do we differentiate then between jnanam and bhakti? Only for one reason. Due to the process when we follow, how we execute that process, there may be differences. But on the absolute level, jnanam and bhakti is the same. There is no difference there. Because both take you to the same goal at the end. But when we are not in a spiritually in a deeper level, what will happen? We have to say like this, that you will get realized, devotees will go to Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Golokam, and jnanis will go to Brahma Jyoti and merge in the Brahma Jyoti. Like this, we will, to make it easier for people to get to understand that. Otherwise, it's not possible. If you tell everyone that jnanam and bhakti is the same, they'll get completely confused about it. It takes a lot of time to think about it and to get experience of that understanding that jnanam and bhakti process, what Krishna is talking about here, this Atmavidya, Brahmavidya, Krishna says so many words for that. This Brahmavidya is beyond time and space. In other words, Kala Deshavadibhyam Narmuktam Nityamuktam. That is how it's said. Desham kalam. Space and time. Desha kalavadibhyam. It's beyond time and space. And nirmuktam. It's always liberated state, that knowledge. In other words, that knowledge cannot be polluted. Nityamuktam. It's always pure and it's always in the liberated state. That is what that knowledge is. That knowledge is. So here, in other words, it was not invented by anyone at any time in the past. That's the most important thing. Whereas, it's always there. It's always there. So that knowledge, which is always present without any, although it's not manifested in us, we have to accept this, that it is from the knowledge everything has come. So that knowledge which is present all the time, in spiritual language it is called Adhyatmam. Adhyatmam means that. So that Adhyatmam, that knowledge, according to our bhavam or the way we relate with that Adhyatmam, we call it as bhakti or we call it as jnanam. Either call it as bhakti or it is called jnanam. So when we talk when we bring it into the platform, into the field of sadhana, when you come to the sadhana level, we call it as yogam and karma. Yogam, karmam. These are the words used in the sadhana level. In the sadhana level, you call it as yogam and karmam. In the realization level, you call it as, and that means anubhuti level, you call it as bhakti or jnanam. I don't know whether I have made it clear, but you can, if you reflect and think about it, why these words has come, you will know it. You will understand that it's not something. It is the very nature of the spiritual life. It's like that. When you bring into the sadhana level, we call it as yogam. For example, Ashtanga yogam, Karma yogam. All these has come in the sadhana level. When it comes to anubhuti level, in realization level, it is bhakti or jnanam. Because bhakti and jnanam is not like karma or sadhana, isn't it? From there you can understand. Sadhana, when you perform, your karmendriyam is involved. Karmendriyam is involved in the sadhana. Or in the karma yogam also. Karmendriyams are also involved. Whereas, if it only comes to jnanendriyam, it remains as bhakti, because bhakti is not through the body experienced, isn't it? Bhakti, bhakti is completely belonging to the in the anubhuti level. Anubhuti level, anubhuti means that realization level. That is where you experience bhakti. And the knowledge also you experience in the realization state, the realized state. So you can see the difference between bhakti and jnanam and sadhana and karma. They are different in that level. Karma yogam is only to help us towards bhakti or jnanam. But because karma is a very powerful force binding us in this world, Krishna spoke that karma yogam and the first few chapters of Bhagavad Gita to free us from the influence of karma. Because unless we free ourselves from the influence of karma, it's not possible to come to the anubhuti level of jnanam or bhakti. Anubhuti level of jnanam or bhakti. That is why the pattern in which Krishna has followed also you can see there. So these two branches, bhakti and jnanam, they are not two different things. According to one's own samskaram in a person, that when they become perfect in life, spiritual life, some people become jnanis and some people become devotees, bhaktas. That's all it is. When this samskaram develops, spiritual culture develops in a person over a long period of time, according to his vasana inside, if he has bhakti vasana or jnana vasana, whatever he has, or jnana samskaram or bhakti samskaram, eventually he will become a jnani or he will become a bhakta. That's all it is. It is not that all of us has got a separate passport going to the jnana margam and bhakti margam. It's not separately anything spoken in that way. What happens is that what is important here is that nobody can stay simply as a jnani. As a jnani, he cannot stay here. Because if he is a jnani, proper jnani, there will be bhakti in him. There will be bhakti in him. And similarly, if he is a perfect devotee, bhakta, there will be jnanam in him. Knowledge will be there in him. You take or anybody, any great devotees, you will take in the Srimad Bhagavatam or anyone in the recent times, you will notice them. All of them, if they were great devotees, they were great jnanis as well. There will be jnanam in them. And if they were jnanis, there will be bhakti, will be there in them. You can't do it without, one without the other. You can't do one without the other. So, because if he is a jnani, in him, that anandam must be there. Because satta chitta anandam, isn't it? Anandam is the aspect of bhakti. And chitta is the aspect of the knowledge, jnanam. So if the jnanam is there, bhakti will be there. If bhakti is there, jnanam will be there. Only one thing will be, that one will be a little bit more powerful than the other. Jnanam samskaram will be a little stronger than the bhakti samskaram in a person. Or bhakti samskaram will be stronger than the jnana samskaram in that person. So the swarubam of Brahman is prayam. There is prayam from Brahman. So, in that, priyam is that bhakti what we refers to. Sometimes we refer to that priyam that comes from the priyam means that love for all living entities in this world, referring to them as Krishna's presence in them, and the feeling of that relationship with every living entity on the platform of the soul. That is a devotee's relationship with other living entities. So, when if that happens in a person, you will notice that in that there will be what is known as spurti. Spurti of the knowledge will be there. It will come through that in their devotional relationship with others. Devotional relationship with others. So, otherwise what will happen is, if it is not there, their bhakti will turn into asakti. Yeah? You remember the word asakti? Asakti is, that means it will develop like this. They will get attached to their children, grandchildren, family, and all other things centered around their individual interests in this world. That priyam that comes from inside, from the soul, Brahman, that priyam is a symptom of that bhakti coming out from inside, anandam. If that anandam, if it is not happening to everyone in every living entity in this world, it is not considered bhakti, it is called asakti. Asakti is not a spiritual word. Asakti is a material terminology. Asakti means attachment. It is not bhakti. But Krishna has used this word asakti in the Bhagavad Gita because to make it easier for us. Asakti we will understand, but bhakti we won't understand. That is the reason. So he uses the word asakti there. That in the Mayasakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya, there is a verse in the seventh chapter. So two or three places Krishna uses the word asakti. But practically, because we don't understand the word bhakti, Krishna had to use that word asakti. So that priyam, what comes from the soul, if it is only directed towards a family member or relative or friend, you cannot call it as bhakti. You cannot call that as bhakti. Because bhakti is another name for jnanam, for knowledge. Or jnanam is another word for bhakti. Jnanam is another word for bhakti. When both of them manifest in a person, you will notice also another interesting thing. A third thing has to be present there, which is vairagya. If in anyone, if you find these two things, bhakti and jnanam together, the third thing, vairagyam, also has to be present in that person. Who said this? Gopi says this to Krishna. Gopi says to Krishna that itararaga vismaranam ranam adharaviranaste adharamradam. So, he says here that as soon as we have developed this priyam towards Krishna, and immediately what happened? That means gopis were in that realized state. They are saying that when this priyam developed, itararaga vismaranam rinam, all other attachment towards other things in this world left us, Gopi says to Krishna. It has left us. Because either the moment bhakti develops in the person, the moment attachment, ragam, happened in the gopi's heart, immediately bhakti has come, and little by little they say, the world left us. That's how gopi says that. Gopis are saying, as soon as you have entered into our heart, in other words, Krishna consciousness developed in the heart of the gopis, of course, Sukadeva Goswami is presenting to us the greatest devotees, Srimad Bhagavatam, gopis, and saying to us, gopis are saying this, as soon as the ragam, attachment to Krishna happened, or bhakti has happened in the heart, this world has left us. There is no more world existing after that. So in the case of gopis, they mentioned it like this. If you try to leave the world on your own, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. But what happened in their case was, the world said goodbye to them. The world said goodbye to them, which is quite different, isn't it? People struggle very hard in this world to give up the connection with this world, but then find it eventually very, very difficult, is it not? But in the gopis' case, as soon as we, in the language of the devotee, we say like this, that as soon as gopis develop their attachment for Krishna, that is the way devotees will say. In the language of the jnani, they will say Krishna is for them the soul. As soon as self-realization happened, the world doesn't exist anymore for them. The world is finished for them. So in the heart, in our heart, either it is knowledge or bhakti, when it develops little by little, that what will happen is that realizations inside, it starts developing that anandam inside, and at that time, this Brahma Vidya, what Krishna has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Brahma Vidya will come inside. So that is what it mentions here, that Srimad Bhagavatam Dharma Projita Bhagavata Dharmam. That's what it is mentioned here. Brahma, Krishna instructed that to Brahma. Brahma handed it over to Sri Narada Maharshi and then to Vedavyasa, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit, like that. So before we hear this, we have to know the process, how it is transmitted. So after giving all this, talking about all this transmission of this self-realization, what has happened? Now, what do we find here? Parikshit is the last person in that cycle, isn't it? And Parikshit is going to die. Parikshit is going to die. And we know very well that through Parikshit, it's very difficult to keep this message in this world, because Parikshit is leaving this world. So, so what happened with Parikshit? When they spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, when Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, and Parikshit was leaving this world, he will also acknowledge the fact that I've got it. The message that was transmitted from Krishna to Brahma to Narada Maharshi, Vedavyas, Sukadeva Goswami, and eventually to Parikshit. And Parikshit is dying and it stops there. So there, before Parikshit left this world, he acknowledges, I got it. I got it, he says. If we look into the 12th canto, how does he acknowledge that? In the 6th chapter, you will see there, the acknowledgement, how he acknowledges that I've got it. He says there, Siddhosmi Anugrahidosmi. In the 12th canto, you will see there, in the 6th chapter, he says, second verse, 6th chapter, second verse, Siddhosmi Anugrahidosmi Bhavada Karunalpana Shravito Yachame Sakshal Anadi Nidhano Hari. He says, Siddhosmi Anugrahidosmi. He says, I am blessed. I have got it. Siddhosmi. Siddha means to get it. I got it. Siddhosmi, Anugrahidosmi. I am blessed, he says. Because I have realized the truth. I have realized the truth. Shravido, by hearing. Simply by hearing, I got it, he says. Shravido yachame sakshal anadi nidhano hari. Hari, I got Hari by hearing. This is how he said. You can't get a better proof than that, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatam, at the very end of Bhagavatam, Parikshit is leaving this world. And he is acknowledging it, that he is saying this after by now, that Sukadeva Goswami was very clear that he has got it. It is after that Sukadeva Goswami left. Because if you look in the fifth chapter, which is only 13 verses, you will see that is the last chapter where Sukadeva Goswami comes. After that, you will not find Sukadeva Goswami in the Bhagavatam. In that fifth chapter. And that fifth chapter is called Brahmavadesham. Brahmavadesham. That is how the message, the last minute, when Sukadeva Goswami wanted the same experience, what Sukadeva Goswami was experiencing inside, he wanted that same experience, Parikshit also to have it. All these 12 candles, Bhagavatam was spoken before that. But the moment when it happened was in that fifth chapter. Whatever Sukadeva Goswami was experiencing in his inside, in his heart, the same experience he wanted anubhavam, anubhuti in Parikshit's heart as well. Parikshit's heart as well. So when that is why he is saying there, Siddhosmi Anugrahidosmi. But in the fifth chapter he will say this, Aham Brahma. He made sure, who? Shukha Brahmarshi made sure, Aham Brahma Param Dhamam, Brahmaham Paramam Padam, Evam Samichan Altmanam, Altmanyathaya Nishkale. That Evam Samichan Altmanam, Altmanyathaya Nishkale. That is the words which made Sukadeva Goswami, he realized it, he understood that Parikshit has got it, and then he leaves the place. He doesn't stay anymore because business is over for him. For Sukadeva Goswami, the business is finished. He wanted that the message should get into Parikshit's heart. And Parikshit acknowledges with this verse, Siddhosmi Anugrahidosmi Bhavada Karunalpana Shravido Yachame Sakshal Anadi Nidhano Hari. So, that you will see there in the Bhagavatam, that Siddhasmi Anugrahidosmi. What was the result of that? The fear has gone. Ignorance has gone. Fear has gone and ignorance has gone. Or in other words, Brahmanishta or Jnananishta, that has come. Saying like this, he left his body. He left this body. So, through Parikshit, it is not possible to this sampradayam to stay. This Bhagavad Sampradayam to stay. So, normally, there will be always listeners, Shrota, they are in the two category. One, generally, you will say Mukhya Shrota, and the other one is Lakshya Shrota. That means there is a difference there. For example, imagine this situation. When Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, there were so many thousands of people who were listening. Thousands of people were listening there. And Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit, Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it not? You can see, Bhagavatam has listed all the great sages who are present there. Remember, in the first canto you will read all the list of all the great personalities who were there. And added to that, many others who heard that Sukadeva Goswami had come and is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. There were many other great personalities also were present there. But actually it was directed towards Parikshit, isn't it? It was directed towards Parikshit. Of all the people who have assembled there to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, at the end, Sukadeva Goswami looked at all of them and said, that person who is sitting there, he has got it. He said, that is Sukadeva Goswami. He could say that. You see that? That in this whole assembly of thousands of people who are present there, he looked at all of them. So, although the Mukhya Shrota, the main listener, is Parikshit, Lakshya Shrota means one who got it. He is called Lakshya Shrota. This Shravanam is a big science. It's, we make it very simple. It's not so simple as we think about it. For us, to stay awake itself is so difficult, isn't it? We are struggling. Our Shraddha, we are so struggling to stay awake. That's our state. Huh? But there you see how serious they were. The Mukhya Shraddha, the main listener, is Parikshit. And Sudev Goswami, a speaker like Sudev Goswami, will know who got it. And he could see most 99.9% didn't get it. The only one who has really got it was Sudev Goswami. What was? Sudev Goswami. So you can see here. So the Mukhya Shraddhava, that means the main listener, is Parikshit. That is already decided. It was addressed to Parikshit. But Lakshya Shraddhava, who gets it, nobody can say. Nobody can say who that will be. That's very difficult to say. So, on whom this knowledge had its impact, that is very difficult to say. So, that is why the person whom we do not know, but who has got it, he is called Lakshya Shraddhava. The other one is called the Mukhya Shraddhava. Suga Brahmarshi, Sudev Goswami spoke Parikshit Srimad Bhagavatam on the banks of the river Ganga, Ganga River bank. So, and Parikshit became perfect. Is it not? Parikshit became perfect. Because you will see in the Bhagavatam, he is addressed as Brahma Bhudo Mahayogi. If you look into that 12th canto, you will see that same chapter, how he is referred to. Brahma Bhudam Mahayogi. Brahma Bhudam means Brahma Bhudam Brahma realization has happened to him. And he is a great yogi at that time. Brahma Bhudam Mahayogi. It is somewhere in that. I think it is in the 6th chapter. Yeah. Yeah. If you look in the verse 10, in the 6th chapter, Prakule Brahishyasinu Gangakulamudang Mukha Brahma Bhudo Mahayogi Nisanga Chinnasam Shayaha Brahma Bhudo Mahayogi Nisangaha Chinnasam Shayaha. So that is what has happened. Nisangada. Completely disconnected from the world. Nisangatvam. No connection with the modes of nature. And Chinna Samshayaha. All the doubts also gone. Doubts gone means knowledge has come. Knowledge does not come as long as we have doubts. Once the doubt goes away, so that's why it mentions there in the 10th verse, the Brahmabhuta Mahayogi Nisango Chinna Samshayaha. And Parikshit is situated in that state there. It was situated in that state there. So here, the difference, why that is mentioned there is, unlike all other knowledge in this world, if you have got the spiritual knowledge, you become that knowledge. This is the important thing. That's why it's important. Brahma Bhudam. Brahma, that means you became Brahman. You became Brahman. Brahma Buddha means you became Brahma. Buddha means to become something. Brahma Buddha. Brahma Buddha Prasannatma, you know that verse. Na Shochari Na Kamshari. So one who is Brahman realized, he is Brahman. In the Upanishads, it mentions that. Whereas if you study any other knowledge in this world, mundane knowledge, you study physics, you don't become physics, do you? Or you don't become chemistry, you don't become mathematics. Whereas in spiritual realization, If you have got it, you become that. That is the difference. I think it's very difficult, isn't it, for us? Because we are only used to physics and chemistry. That's why the problem is. in the self-realization, once we have got it, then you become that. Because there is no body after that. That is what we are. That means we got our identity, what we are. We got back to our state, where we belong to. In the conditioned state, contaminated state with the matter, we have this bodily identity and different names, different designations, everything has come to us. So, when the knowledge comes, Brahma Jnanam, when that comes to us, we become Brahmam. We become Brahmam. Parikshit became Brahmam. He became Brahmam, Brahman himself. That's why it is mentioned there as Brahmabodha Mahayogi. Brahmabodha Mahayogi. So, when Sukadeva Goswami looked into the audience who were present there, he saw this Sudha Goswami, which is also known as Ugrashravasa, isn't it? And he stays in one corner in the whole assembly there. And when he saw the Sudha, Sudeva Goswami was very happy, very happy. And you know how he said, what he said at that time? He said, some people asked Sudeva Goswami at that time, when will we hear Srimad Bhagavatam again? He asked this question to him. And so many other people were there, but Sudeva Goswami ignored all of them. He didn't say anything about anybody else. And he says to them, his eyes went straight to Sudha Goswami. And he says, this message has gone in there, into him. And only by Shravanam, by hearing process, it has happened and realization has happened to him. So, and this Sutta will speak Srimad Bhagavatam in Naimisharanyam. Those who want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they can go to Naimisharanyam and hear Bhagavatam there. Saying this, Sudeva Goswami left the scene. So this is the way it happened in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, so that means what is indicating is that if it has to happen, it has to happen immediately, at the very moment when you hear. That's where Bhagavatam has to happen. It's not that something you hear now, and after many years, the realization has to happen. You remember in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there is a verse there. Dharma projjita kaidavotra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapatrayo inmulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni krute kimva pareri ishvara sadyo Hridi avirudhya detra kridibi shushrushubhi talchanad. The word talchanad means on the spot. On the spot, it has to happen. The experience of Srimad Bhagavatam has to happen on the spot, not later. That's what it mentions, that word, talchanad. Shushrushubhi talchanad, he says. In that is the system in the Vedantam. Vedanta system is like that. Vedanta sampradayam is like that. Just like you can see, Krishna spoke to Arjuna. It has to happen then to Arjuna. And Krishna spoke to Uddhava. It has happened to Uddhava at that time. The very moment it has happened. If it has not happened at that time, it's not going to happen after a few days or few months. That's not the way it works. But but because the till in the process of Vedantam also, when the truth is spoken, till the self-realized soul and the disciple who is completely ready to receive that message, when they meet up with each other, when the transmission takes place properly, the realization will happen in the disciple's heart as well. But Shushrushubhi, SB, you, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this process. Shravanam process, what we have talked about, as much as you keep hearing, you will see some very, very minute realizations may come to people at different times of the truth. You won't get the whole thing together in one package. But some, how do we put it, in some kind of realizations from what we have heard, they happen inside. It's a very slow process how it's going to happen. That's why more and more when we hear Bhagavatam, you will never know when Krishna will get that inside, he will take it on board, what you have heard. So many things we hear every day. But it's not necessary that all of it will go in one lot. Somewhere you will get a glimpse of that now and then. And that's what is Shravanam process is. So as much as it is here, in the heart Krishna appears. And at that point, some things, some part of that Srimad Bhagavatam will manifest in a person. If you mention this to a materialist, he will not understand. A materialistic person will, because for us, the difficulty here is that normally to get something in this world, we have to do something, isn't it? You do something and you get something. That is what we are used to. That's all what we know. So if you tell them that, look, by hearing you will get it, they will ask the question, how is that possible? Just by hearing I get it? What do we have to do for that? They will say. So this difficulty is there in spiritual life, that most of people find it very hard to understand that. When you tell them, just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you will get to realize the truth. If you say that to them, that's how is that possible? Everything, you have to do something in this world. You have to work hard. You have to do a lot of things to get it. So, there is another factor involved, what we talked about it yesterday also, what is called Kripa, Krishna's mercy or Krishna's grace, whichever way you like to address it. That Kripa is the one that does that job. Kripa is the thing that is. So, one who thinks everything in terms of that I'll do something, I'll get it, he is called Kripanan. Kripana means one who believes Karpa. I'll do something, I'll get something. I'll do something, I'll get something. That's how the word Kripana has come. So, in other words, his attention is always getting something by doing something. So, sometimes people will say, we bring this same way of thinking into spiritual life also. And there we get stuck. People ask this question, how many rounds should I chant every day so that I will realize the truth? They will ask that question quite often. So, or they will say, how much pranayamam should I do? How much time? How many hours should I practice? Or how much yoga sadhana I should practice to do that? How many books should I study? How long does it take? Everybody asks this question. How long does it take to get to that? So, the important question here is that in the beginning, we have to do the sadhana. We have no other choice. We have to do the sadhana. And if you keep on doing it, after a long time, that from inside, we will get the message clearly, I cannot do it. That's what the result is at the end of all this sadhana. Inside, you will get convinced yourself, by your ahankaram, false ego, you are not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Because in everything what we do, ahankaram is the main force behind it, isn't it? The force behind all our action in this world is the ego. Is this ego? So that ego one day will tell us that you have tried very hard, it's not working, and then you will know that this vastu or the object what you are inquiring after, purna vastu, that is within inside me. It is right inside me, and he is there, but that is when Krishna's mercy or Krishna's kripa or grace takes the control of the situation. So, you will also notice that vastu is easily available, and not only that, you may also require at that point in time, you also start thinking, I have wasted a lot of my time in my life looking for it elsewhere. So, because this thing, we all have got it. That is the first thing to understand. That self-realization, the self, what is inside, that is what we are trying to realize the truth. Upalabdhasya. In the Upanishad says, Upalabdhasya. So, nothing to come from outside. If you hear it properly, Shravanam process, one day, depending on Krishna's grace and Kripa, it can happen. That's all you can say about that. So, Krishna will appear in the heart. Just like they give the example, sometimes we keep the glasses on the nose like this, and we will search like this, we will keep it, and we will be searching for the glasses somewhere. It happened to old people always, isn't it? Then the glasses will be there on the on the nose, and then they will be searching, where will I leave my glasses? And then somebody points out, your glasses on your face. Oh yeah, it's there. Similarly, a similar thing, so Krishna is already inside. It's not that you have to go and get it from somewhere else. After a long search, everywhere, one day from inside you get this intimation that I am here. He will tell you that. I am here. And then you will start looking inwards, where is he? But to get to that stage, you have to do all the sadhana before to get there. That's the problem. Then, now, if I spoken, it will only understood on an intellectual level, but it won't happen in any other way. So Krishna says here that what all happens in satsangam is that constantly waking up this Antaryami inside. In everyone's heart, there is the Antaryami inside. Waking up Antaryami is the job in the satsangam. Somehow to wake up that Antaryami. And that is what is called satsangam. So, there is two ways of this waking up happens. This is all from the Upanishads. One is called Paroksham and the other one is called Aparoksham. You will see these two words. Paroksham, Aparoksham. Direct process and indirect process. Have you come across that word in the Bhagavatam? In many places you will see. In the Prajina Barhis Puranjano Bhakhyanam you will see this word. Krishna is saying, Parokshancha Mama Priyam. Spoken indirectly, I like it, he says. Again he says in the 11th canto also, Paroksham is the process I follow, he says. Krishna likes it, that Paroksham. But Paroksham and Aparoksham, direct and indirect, both process exist. Both process exist. Indirect or what is the direct process? Direct process is like this. To the disciple, the spiritual master is telling him, you are Brahman. You are Brahman. You are the soul and you are complete yourself. And that is called the direct process. That is called the direct process. That means the disciple is in front of the spiritual master and spiritual master is talking to him Vedantam. The conclusions of the truth. Vedanta means the Mahavakyams like Tatumasi, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Atma Brahma and Prajnanam Brahma. These are all the Mahavakyam from the different Upanishads. So after teaching the Upanishads, before the student leaves, if he is properly matured in his qualifications to receive the message, the spiritual master, when he sees that he is ready to give it, he is ready to receive it, he will speak to him the truth through one of these four Mahavakyams to him. That is what is called Mahavakyam, is directly spoken to him. And when he hears the Mahavakyam from a self-realized teacher, soul, its impact will be there immediately in him. He will also experience the same truth, what the spiritual master is experiencing within his heart. So that is the direct process. And there, this is after a long period of teaching the Upanishads and other things, and all the qualifications of the disciple also is important there, apart from a realized teacher. Teacher has to be realized. That you have to see all these things in the Bhagavad Gita point of view also. How does Bhagavad Gita put it? Bhagavad Gita puts it in this way. Tadvidvi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya Upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. That verse actually means this. That jnani, realized person, tattva darshina, who is a realized soul, if he instructs to a disciple who has pranibhadena, pariprasnena, sevaya, which he must have done all these things, and when this disciple is completely ready, and if he is given the truth by a person who is self-realized, jnani or a tattvadarshi, one who has seen the truth, then the truth will get transmitted to the other person, otherwise not. Otherwise it won't get transmitted. Imagine a state where neither of them are the same, both the state. So naturally it won't happen, isn't it? So Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke that verse, it does mean that upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. Only is a tattva darshi spoken the truth, and a disciple who has come through these stages of pranipadam, pariprasnam, seva, all the three. And those three words are sufficient. Pranipadam, pariprasnam, seva. Pranipadam means total surrender. Total surrender. Yeah. For him, nothing else is important in this world except self-realization. And he says to the spiritual master, I have come here, I am suffering in this world, I want the truth, I want to know the truth. Can you help? And this is how the mood of the disciple is. You will see in Vivekachudamani, he talks about the disciple's mood, how he approaches the spiritual master. There's a lot of verses talks about the disciple state of consciousness at that time. And what does he do? He says to him, fall down in front of him and says to him, please help me. Is there any way of out getting out from this misery here, from this material life? That's his question. And the spiritual master sees in him, is he ready for it? All these are important. Is he ready for it to get the message, to receive the message? And Nirindhanai Vanala, he says, that spiritual master should have no vasanas inside, everything completely burned. They say, consider it like a gas cylinder where all the gases run out. In their case, what gas means? The vasanas inside. One who has no vasanas inside, complete vasana kshayam has happened, and he is situated on the platform of that self-realized state, and he is speaking to his disciple. Disciple is asking, I have come because I want to know the truth. Is there any way to escape from here? He says. So then that is pranipadam. That is pranipadam. And that is a proper pranipadam. You will see like that in few great personalities' life what happened, isn't it? For example, in Charitamrita, you will see Sanatana Goswami going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the same way. Remember that? How he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I don't know who I am, he says. I don't know who I am. I surrender unto you. And he has thrown away everything, his ministerial position, his wealth, and he got rid of everything one after the as quickly as possible. And when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only question he had to say to him was, I don't know who I am, he says. I don't know who I am. And this way there are many cases throughout the history of the great teachers, great acharyas in their disciples. This is what has happened all the time. So that is pranipadam. That is pranipadam. Then the next thing is pariprasnam. And then in that fully surrendered state, only then if we ask any question, it has any meaning. Only in that surrendered state, if a question has asked, it has meaning. Because the spiritual master knows that that person is qualified to ask the question because he has surrendered. Then seva, last thing, then the service to spiritual master. All these three things are there. So if you look at that verse, you will see tadvidhi pranibhadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam. To him knowledge is given by whom? Jnanina sattva-darshina, one who is self-realized. Then the message will get transmitted to the other side. So here, you will see here, this direct path is that, direct path, where he goes to him and he is spoken directly. But before that message is delivered, a lot of education must have happened between the teacher and the student. You will, in all Upanishads is centered around this principle. You will see there, Nachiketa's Katha Upanishad is based on that. And similarly, you will see Jabali's story, and the story in the Chandogya Upanishad, all of them is like the student comes to the teacher, surrenders and asks this question. And he gets instructed about that. So, now, so he mentions here, what is the indirect process? This is the direct process, where it is directly given to the person. Indirect process is like this, that I am nothing. Accepting that I am nothing. Because I know very well I can't get it. I can't do it. And that is bhakti. This indirect path is the bhakti. Because we cannot do it on our own. We cannot know, recognizing that, completely surrendering to Krishna. Knowing very well only Krishna exists in this whole creation. It is nothing but Krishna. And if I want to get anything done, it is not possible. I want to get anything done on my own, it is not possible. Both of them are correct. The direct path is correct. The indirect path is also equally valid. Equally valid. One thing is that that if you look at it, this process, through the, in the platform of the body, or in the platform of the mind, if you look at it, actually all of us can only be devotees. Process of bhakti, only that will work for us. If you look at it, from the platform of the body and platform of the mind, those who are absorbed in the body and the mind, for them it is very difficult to take to the that process of where directly receiving that realization. In the way it is spoke, Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So, main thing is, remember, in the 7th chapter we talked about this. From the platform of the body and the platform of the mind, we can never be perfect. You know that, don't you? No matter what you do in this world, you can never live in this body in a perfect state, isn't it? Body can never be made perfect. It is going on its own way, and one day it will say goodbye and go. That's all you can expect from this body, at the very best. If it doesn't give you much trouble here, you're lucky. But one day it's going to go, and if you try to, through the level, in the bodily level, if you try to make it perfect, it's not going to happen. It's equally true with the mind also. So, whatever we want to get it, through this body and the mind, this realization is not possible. It's not possible. Because body and the mind, they are involved in only one thing. What is that? Karma. It can assist you in the karma. That's all it can do. It can't do anything more than that. But it cannot take you to perfection. That is the problem. It cannot take you to perfection. So, whereas with the body and the mind, when we are identifying with the body and the mind, generally our false ego will also come along with that, and it will start operating the controlling the body as well as the mind. So, and when when you see there that through our own effort, with this body and the mind, when we get convinced ourselves that we can't get anywhere, it is at that time that we start looking for help in spiritual life. We start looking for help. Till that time we will start thinking, oh, let me do this, let me do that. So many programs, somebody will organize it for you. You'll go along with all these programs thinking that all that is going to happen through those programs. Self-realization is going to happen. That's how, if you look into the world, you will see. Somebody will start a movement and an institution, and after his time, others will come on the scene and they will organize programs for others, and you will get involved in those programs thinking that I'm doing the right thing. And you will go along with it for many years, and you will start asking the question, what have I been doing all these years? What did I do? So this is spiritual life. If we hand it over to others to do it, this is what will happen. Andhayathandairuvaniyamanam, blind leading the blind situation will happen. It will definitely happen. That's the way it happens always. So it is at that time, after a long time, when you have gone through all these things, you will start thinking, what did I gain from all these things? Somebody told me I should go on doing this, I did that. Somebody told me something else, I did that. But at the end, where do I stand? I am still identifying the same degree with this body, with this mind, and then somebody tells you, well, everything will happen after death when you go back to the spiritual world. You'll go back home back to Godhead because you have done all these things in this world. Well, you have to believe it, accept it in that level only. You can't do anything about it. So that's why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam, it is very important that to understand that, then through my own effort, it's not going to happen. That's the first thing to realize this. So that is when you start putting your faith in Krishna's grace and mercy. Krishna, not after death, but right now it has to happen, otherwise it's no use. Something after death, everything spoken after death, this will happen. It's not the Gandhi statement. So in the process of knowledge, how does that happen? First thing itself, they are told that you are complete. There's nothing to gain in this world. So there, the jnani, or the realized soul, he is not talking about the body, he's not talking about the mind, nor is he talking about the false ego. He's not talking about the So in beyond than all these three, beyond the body, beyond the mind, and beyond the false ego, so there, that is where he is referring to our Swarupam. Our Swarupam. What he addresses as Swarupam. That means that Purnata, Bodham, awareness, and that is what we are. That is spoken through the process of knowledge. It gets conveyed to the other person. Again, remember this. It's not through the mind, not through the intelligence. All these words in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nyapti, Pratyagalpa, so many ways it is addressed to soul. Our Purnatvam, Purnada, awareness, Aham, Bodham, in other words, which is the same thing what you are experiencing in the Sushupti state, in the deep sleep, that is what is that perfection. That is how they will get this message to them. Because in the deep sleep state, when there is no body, when there is no mind, when there is no ego, nothing, none of them is there, but what is there at that time, showing that thing to you and making you realize that's what you are, that is what is the Upanishad process. Upanishad's process is like that. So then jnanis, who are the possess of the knowledge, what they do is that they take you to the Sushupti state by all their reasoning and explanations of the Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti states. They'll take you to Sushupti states and make you realize that what is that remaining in that Sushupti state, that is what you are. They will make you accept that. And that is what is known as Satta. You remember that word, Satta? Satta Matram Nirvishesham Niriham. In the Bhagavatam you will see that. Satta. Satta means that is the essence. That's what we are. So taking us to that, and also to tell us that Satta is what you are, there is nothing to be achieved here in this world. It's not something you have to get here. So in these two dimensions, this happened. One Paroksham and the other one Aparoksham. One is Paroksham and the other one Aparoksham. So these two processes do exist. Paroksham and the other one is Aparoksham. Aparoksha Anubhuti. There is a book called Aparoksha Anubhuti. Aparoksha Anubhuti. And Paroksham, Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, for Parikshet, Sudev Goswami has done both. Both Paroksham as well as Aparoksham. In other words, Jnanam and Bhakti, both. Jnanam and Bhakti, both of them were given to him, isn't it? Why was it done like that? For our benefit, for those who wants to take. Because you never know who will follow which one. It's very difficult to say that. So, and not only that, you will also observe yourself, you will see this. Sometimes you feel you are a devotee. And sometimes you feel you are a jnani. Have you thought like that? I don't know whether you thought like that, but it does happen. That if you are seriously engaged in spiritual life, sometimes you will see bhakti is very favorable in the heart. And then for some time, you will see jnanam is very favorable to you. These are people's way of their own experiences, realizations in this world. So, this will happen in one's own life. So, recognizing that whatever that is favorable for spiritual advancement, Sudev Goswami spoke Bhagavatam in such a way, both the direct process as well as the indirect process. Both the direct process and the indirect process. So that is why he mentions here, any time, one day, just like Parikshit has mentioned here, Siddhosmi, Anigrahidosmi. He said that at the end, isn't it? That mood has to come to us. That is the goal behind it. Like Parikshit told Sudev Goswami, Siddhosmi, Anigrahidosmi. I got it, I am blessed. That's what it means. I've got it, I am blessed. Sudev Goswami, when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, he had this intention, both through the Paroksham and Aparoksham process through which He put it both in the Bhagavatam so that one day who takes Srimad Bhagavatam for spiritual life, whoever has taken Srimad Bhagavatam for their spiritual life, they should be able to come out with the same answer like Parikshit has answered, Siddhosmi and Grihidosmi. It should come from them at some point in time. So that which is keeping that in this, that he has spoken both processes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is then that just like here, then all these processes are there. For example, normally suppose you are having your prasadam in a plastic plate or a banana leaf or whatever. After the prasadam is, you got it inside, then you don't worry about the leaf or about the plate. You just throw it away. Is it not? In the same way, either through paroksham or through the aparoksham way, once a realization has happened, you will not be concerned about this body anymore. You will not be concerned about this body. And after that, if the body stays or if the body doesn't stay, it's immaterial. It is immaterial. All you are waiting is that you, as far as you are concerned, after that realization, body is not existing. It may be there for others who sees the body exists. But for the person who has realized the truth, for him the body doesn't exist. So, but the body, after that realization, it will stay, most of them, people, till the prarabdham is finished. Once the prarabdham is over, it will drop and go. But if the body stays or if the body doesn't stay, if it drops away, it is not going to matter very much. As far as that person is concerned, the soul is concerned. Because it is a particular state where you don't have to achieve anything or attain anything, and there is nothing to lose either. Normally, in our life in this world, these two things are important. What am I going to get? What am I going to lose? All calculations are centered around that, isn't it? Based on that. In the material world, vyavaharam runs on this principle. What will I get? What will I lose? So, but in this realized state, there is nothing to get, there is nothing to lose either. All those things, misconceptions goes away because it's not applying him anymore. Try to imagine that state within yourself now, how that will be. So, because all that we are talking about is about that state. That when self-realization happens, this body, what we consider so important in our vyavaharam in this world, which is of no use after self-realization, we just drop it. We just drop it like the plate, what we put it in the bin after the prasadam. That's all it is worth at that time. Because you have moved away from this body, body has left you. Actually, you didn't leave the body. Body left you and gone away from there. So, that body leaving us has happened in the outside people's, in their eye, it has happened when the body drops away. But for the person who was carrying that body, for him the body has left him long before than that. So first it happens to him, and then it's observed by the others in this world what happens to that person. So what are we talking about then? We are talking about our swarupam, what we are, because that is what we are, isn't it? After leaving this body, what is left, that's what we are, and that's what we have forgotten. After losing this body, losing this mind, losing this intelligence, losing this ego, everything losing it, what is left behind? Whatever that is left behind, that is what we are. And that's what we want to get back to. So practically, you can see in spiritual life, it is not by getting something, rather it is a losing process. It's not a getting process. It's a losing process. One after the other, if we can say goodbye to all these things, body, mind, intelligence and ego, everything, we get closer to the truth. Therefore, in Shastram, the word for all these four things is Upadhi. Upadhi. Upadhi means that which is holding you back in not knowing, letting you know what you are. Therefore, it's called Upadhi. Isn't it? So, you can see from the spiritual side, life is a completely different way. One has to look at it. Not through the way we see the body. We look at the body and think that we are making spiritual progress. But body cannot make any spiritual progress. Body is just a burden. It has come to give you trouble. And like Krishna says, it will frighten you whole life and it will go one day. It's not nothing else you get from this body otherwise. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions there that Kasmayena vibhasudvayam adilo jnana pradivapura tadruvenaja naradayamuneye krishnaya tadruvina. And prior to that, there is a verse there that Srimal Bhagavadam Puranamamalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsamekamamalam Jnanam Param Giyade. What is spoken in the Srimal Bhagavadam? Yasmin, what is that? Paramahamsamekamamalam Paramahamsa Dharma. That is what is spoken in the Bhagavadam. Paramahamsa stage. That means when one becomes Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa means one who has fully realized a person, soul, fully realized soul. When he comes to that state, yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam jnanam, that pure knowledge, param giyate, that is what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the end of Bhagavatam, you will see that verse. Before that, kasmayena vibhasodvayam adilo, in the last chapter, referring to Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions there, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam, Amala Puranam, very pure. Yad Vaishnavanam Prem, it's very dear to the Vaishnavas. Yasmin, where? Paramahamsam Ekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyade. That knowledge which takes one to the Paramahamsa Dharma, one reaches the state of Paramahamsa, that is what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, if you ask him, if it is meant for Paramahamsas, that knowledge, that jnanam, then what do we do with that? That is the question. It is not like that. If you ask that question, the answer is that in Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is required for the child who goes to the first class, first standard, and to those who goes to the PhD level, they all have all the knowledge that is required for everyone at all the levels, they can get it from the Bhagavatam. All their stories are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is structured like that. One who doesn't know anything about spiritual life, he can get the benefit from Bhagavatam. One who knows, one who has reached the highest state, he can also benefit from the Bhagavatam. Both of them are there in the Bhagavatam. That's what you will see there, that that PhD student or the first student, first standard, both of them are benefited. So that is how it comes. Katha is there. Stuti is there, Upadesham is there in the Bhagavatam, in three levels. Katha is there, Stuti is there, Upadesham is there. In the one who is in the earliest state, first time when he comes to spiritual life, Katha will help him because he wants to hear the Katha story, isn't it? Story will be attractive to him. He'll get attracted by the story. And then when it happens like this, he goes to the, after hearing the Katha, he will start thinking about it and then he come across this Stuti. We are talking Mujugunda Stuti now. That coming to Stuti comes at that stage. After hearing Katha for a long period of time, that due to Katha Shravanam, hearing the Katha alone, that we will start to come to a stage that Bhagavad Katha, Krishna's pastimes, and so many things that he has spoken here, directly meant for those who doesn't know anything about spiritual life. It is addressed towards them. The Katha is directly addressed to them. For their benefit, just to give them some taste for spiritual life, they have spoken of the Katha in the Bhagavatam. That's how it begins. And after hearing Katha for a while, as we start a little bit thoughtful and little bit serious about spiritual life, for them, Stutis were spoken. Because a little bit more sophisticated it becomes then. In Katha state, you can just sit and listen. Doesn't require much of a brain to understand or mind to understand. You just hear, you enjoy the Katha in different pastimes, what has happened, isn't it? But there, then you will notice something that after you hear for a while, katha, naturally from inside the inquisitiveness develops. And that is when you start looking a little bit more seriously into Bhagavatam about different personalities, what they have spoken. Up to that time, personalities, you are not too concerned about it. So many people are coming and going, coming and going. And when we come to that personality and what they had got to say about Krishna, what they had to say, they got to say about Krishna, you become a little bit more serious about it. And that is the stage when Stuti comes, the like Mujugunda Stuti, what we are talking about, becomes a important matter. That becomes an important matter. It is at that stage. So here you can see that after that Stuti also, then you started realizing there is matter is very serious. It's not a very light thing that I've been thinking about Bhagavatam. Initially, I thought, oh, Bhagavatam is all nothing but a lot of stories, isn't it? People will make that remark, you must have heard many times. What is there in the Bhagavatam? I know all the stories, they'll say. Yes, you know the stories, yes. I agree, you know all the stories, yes. But story is the first step. From the story, when you become serious, you start looking into the personalities who were in those stories and what they had to say about Krishna. That is when Stuti comes. When Stuti comes. But after hearing their Stuti and after hearing about their seriousness and their understanding of that, you want to have it, and that is when Upadesham comes. Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna talks to Uddhava, if you put that in front of a person who has never taken any interest in spiritual life, he will just say, it doesn't make any sense to me. That will be the first answer from him. Is it not? You can see that. We are all like that one day. Isn't it? First of all, nobody will go to Ekadasha Skandam. They don't want to even hear Ekadasha. They say, what is this? It's continuously Krishna is sitting there and saying something, Atma, Brahman, Maya, this, that. And Uddhava say, yes, yes, yes. And I will rather enjoy all the other things. More they will be interested in how this world came about. These are the things in the beginning. In the beginning of spiritual life, more serious about the world, not about yourself. Want to know about the world, how this happened. So third kind of whole creation. Have it, everything what you want to know. From Brahma onwards, everything is spoken like that. So the mind which goes out so outwardly, to drive it back inwards is not an easy job. And to get serious about the soul and self-realization, it becomes very, very difficult. So you can see here one interesting thing, how from the katha to Stuti to Upadesham, how one moves from one step to another, one step to another. Now, this is in one level. This is in one level. In another level, if you look at it, you will see someone who is very sharp. Sharp means prajnashuddhi. That is a word in Shastram. Prajnashuddhi means not sharpness in intelligence in the material life, but due to executing the proper sadhana very well, sufficient purification has happened inside that he is in a position to receive the message directly. Like a radar, he will take the message on board very seriously. For him, suppose if he hears directly these instructions, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, what is in the Bhagavatam, and he takes it, if he takes it at that time, and it has worked in his consciousness. In other words, the realization has happened to him. Realization has happened to him. And that person, then he turns into the Stuti. After the Upadesham, Upadesham is the last one, Krishna's to Uddhava. He got that, and then he started looking into Bhagavatam seriously, and he looking into Bhagavatam seriously, and he is seeing there that these devotees have glorified Krishna in this particular way. And what made them to speak in this way? He started probing into it. And he's seeing there that this Upadesham, what they have got it, it is all coming through their studies in some form or the other. It's like Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. Many things, if you compare that, what those instructions, if you take it and look at it, you will see Some of them are there in many devotees' realizations as well. So those who have studied the, got the instructions first, that means those fortunate persons who had that sharpness of mind or intelligence or whatever, or the brain, or whatever, in the mundane language, that's how I will say. Prajna Shuddhi is the word in the Shastra. Who had that Prajna Shuddhi, when they get the Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, and they see that experience in them, when they realize that, they start looking into Bhagavatam and see that many other devotees have also got it when they had been instructed by Krishna. For example, Uddhava is not the only person who got instructed, isn't it? There are others also. Akura got instructed. Gopis got instructed. Prahlada got instructed. Dhruva got instructed. Bhishma got instructed. So many others got instructed by Krishna. Not to such a level like Uddhava had. Uddhava had a very higher level of instructions. But other devotees were also given instructions. So when someone comes through that and experience that, that realizations what they found, what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, Ekadasa Skandam, and then they see a reflection of that in the other instructions to other devotees also, he creates an immense joy for him. And it is then that he starts looking into Bhagavatam and he starts finding the katha there, stories there, and he enjoys the stories at that time in a completely different way. So Srimad Bhagavatam brings in all different levels. People are studying Bhagavatam in this world. Not that everybody is simply reading katha, katha, katha. It's not only katha. Katha, studi, upadesham, all of them, in all three different levels, people are. So, so here you can see, after they had, how does it happen? Let me explain that. After they have received the instructions, what Krishna has spoken to, sometimes it happens like that. Say someone who has studied all the Upanishads very well, and the person is spiritually very potent, is ready to get the message directly on board, is able to take it. In that state, he came across Srimad Bhagavatam, and he found in the Ekadasha Skandam he went through, he found the Upanishad's knowledge is spoken very nicely in the Ekadasham. He gets a joy by reading that, and same thing what he found in the Upanishads, he finds in the Bhagavatam. He finds in the Bhagavatam. So, when he started reading the Stuti, he noticed the same thing, the glimpse of that in the Stuti as well. But after hearing the Upadesham or Uddhava, Bhagavad Uddhava Samvadam, Krishna Uddhava Samvadam, that conversation, and after reading the Stuti, still he is finding that there is a missing link in him. There is a link that is missing within him. And what is the link that is missing is the katha. Is the katha. So you can't separate them out, all three of them. But that is why all three are important. You should never think katha is not important. Katha is important. Stuti is important. Upadesham is important. All of them are important. We will never say that katha is not important. But only what we'll say is, don't finish with katha. There is more to it in Bhagavatam than katha. That is the most important thing. Katha is there, Stuti is there, Upadesham is there. When all three of them, when properly relished, then you can say that Bhagavatam, you are experiencing Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise you couldn't say that. So here, so it is in that it is because of that the Katha has come. Katha has come like that. That is why you can see there to talk about that, Veda Vyasa Maharshi says, once upon a time, and he brings all the stories of so many personalities into Bhagavatam. And this is what is known as paroksham. Indirectly, like you can see that in the fourth canto, that story of Prachina Barhis and Puranjana, that story, isn't it? It was a story. It's not real. It's an allegorical thing. It's an allegorical thing. Allegorical means that to get the message through, that story has been spoken. Five chapters in the fourth canto is this Prachina Barhis story. It's an allegorical story it is. So whether it is allegorical or not, that's not the important point. That the principle what is spoken, the message, that is what is more important. So, and that is when he mentions there, that is what is known as paroksham. Paroksham. That's why at the end of that Prachina Brahi's story, you will see there is a few verses there which talks about Paroksham. If you look into that fourth canto, last chapter of the fourth canto. Last chapter, which is the fourth canto, 31, I think, 31st chapter, the last chapter. You will see there that there is some statement about Paroksham. It is in the last chapter. That's 31, isn't it? Fourth canto. So, if you look into the chapter 29, that's where it is. At the end, it mentions there that 85th verse, this long chapter that is, 85th verse, it says there, Adhyalmam parokshamidam mayadhigadam albhudam evam stri ashrama pumsa chinno mutrajasam shaya. He says, this discussion of this in this Bhagavadam, this Adhyalpam knowledge, is Paroksham, he says. Not directly, indirectly spoken. Adhyalpam parokshamidam mayadhigadam albhudam evam stri ashrama pumsa chinno mutrajasam shaya. The tattvam, Atma tattvam, knowledge of the soul, is spoken here, but in a paroksham, in an indirect way. And this it says, evam stri ashrama pumsa chinno mutraja samshaya. By hearing this, one will get rid of that illusion from inside, false ego will go away, and all doubts about the absolute truth will disappear from inside, So, if you look into the 83rd verse, that is the 85th verse, the 83rd verse, what does Maitreya Maharshi say, sir? Maitreya Maharshi says, Edad adhyalma parokshyam gidam devarshina anakha yashravayedya shunuyat salingena vimuchyate. He says, Maitreya Maharshi says to Vidura, this Edad adhyalma parokshyam, that what has been sung by Sri Narada Maharshi, and in the form of a story, the principal knowledge of the soul is spoken, is communicated. The knowledge of the soul is communicated through this in a paroksha way, in an indirect way. The spiritual knowledge of the soul is indirectly communicated, and one who hears that, he can get liberated, it says. Can get liberated. So the point is this, that spiritual knowledge is spoken in that way, in an indirect way. There is a process, that indirect way. So when it is spoken in this katha form, you can see people will be interested. Lot of devotees, you will notice, they read these five chapters, Puranjanopakhyanam, Puranjana's story, and they find it interesting, very interesting. Those who are reading Bhagavadam, they'll know. Why they find it interesting? Because it's a very interesting story. That's what it is. A man meets a woman, having a good time together. Children were born, lived a very nice life, and eventually everything gets lost. And a very, very, very unusual ending of the story. And that itself says in the Bhagavadam, when Prajina Brahis heard all this story, he says to Narada Maharshi, is this a story or are you creating, making up something together, all of them? He asked that question directly, are you making up something? It is then that Narada Maharshi told him, yes, I made it up so that you understand what I am saying, he said. That is how he delivered the message to Prajina Brahis. Because Prajina Brahis was also caught up in the Karmakandam, busy with the sacrifices and thinking that I'll go to the heavenly planets and enjoy, not knowing the spiritual reality behind it. So he had to do that. So that's why you will see there Paroksham mentions there. So it is not unusual that this happens. So Paroksham. So in the Bhagavadam you will notice that from a child who are lying in the womb of the mother, from that day, from that personality, right up to a personality, extremely old, great-great-great-grandfather who is leaving this world, all persons in this range is in the Bhagavatam. And we notice that. The child, Parikshit, who is child lying within the Uttaradevi's womb, from there onwards, right up to Bhishma, who had a great life in this world, tried to control everything here and run an empire and witnessed a lot of things, experienced everything in this world practically, and fought a long war and eventually lost everything, and he is leaving the world. His story is also in the Bhagavatam. Both. A child who is lying in the womb of a mother who has not even seen the world, his spiritual life is discussed in the Bhagavatam. And this grand, grand old man, Bhishma, who had gone through such a lot of things in life, his life is also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's how Bhagavatam has been compiled. Now, the question is that our natural way of thinking is that, is this all stories then? You may ask that question. It's not like that. But we are not too concerned about the accuracy of the story. Because that is not how you study Puranam. If you study Puranam like that, you will be in trouble. You won't get anywhere. Because so much is written about these things in the internet and all, you will see people asking questions. And the answers also, who knows what's the answer? When Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, his intention was somehow people should come to realize the truth. And to get to help us, that he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. And through Srimad Bhagavatam, he brought to us this message through various episodes in the Vidura Maitreya Samvadam, Yudhishthira Narada Samvadam, Shuka Parikshit Samvadam, Suda Shaunaka Samvadam, Krishna Uddhava Samvadam. Different conversations between different, this is what Bhagavatam is all about, isn't it? And the history of so many great personalities, how they realized the truth, that is what is more important. What they did here at that time is not of much significance to us today. What matters to us today is what was their realizations at the end. And therefore, while mentioning this, you will see all kinds of personalities are brought into Srimad Bhagavatam. Brought into Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll stop it there for a few minutes. It's 5 o'clock. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam, Amalam, ഏത് വൈഷ്ണവാനാം പ്രിയം യസ്മിൻ പരമഹംസമേകം അമലം ജ്ഞാനം പരം ഗീയതേ. ദ വേഴ്സ് സേസ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് അറ്റ് ദി എൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് യത് വൈഷ്ണവാനാം പ്രിയം അമലപുരാണം ഭാഗവതം യത് വൈഷ്ണവാനാം പ്രിയം. വൈഷ്ണവ ഇസ് വെരി ഡിയർ ടു ദി വൈഷ്ണവാസ്. ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻസ്? ജ്ഞാനം പരം ഗീയതേ. ദാറ്റ് ഹയസ്റ്റ് ട്രാൻസ്ഡൻഡൽ നോളജ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ഹിയർ. ഹയസ്റ്റ് ട്രാൻസ്ഡൻഡൽ നോളജ് ഈസ് ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ഹിയർ. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ തത്ര ജ്ഞാന വിരാഗ ഭക്തി സഹിതം, ദാറ്റ് ജ്ഞാനം വിത്ത് വൈരാഗ്യം ആൻഡ് ഭക്തി. നൈഷ്കർമ്മ്യം ആവിഷ്കൃതം യത് ശൃൺവൻ വിപഠൻ വിചാരണ പരോ ഭക്തിയാ വിമുച്ചേർ നരാം. സോ ബൈ സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം, സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് മീൻസ് ബൈ റിയലൈസിങ് ഭാഗവതം, വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ? നൈഷ്കർമ്മ്യം ആവിഷ്കൃതം. റിമെമ്പർ ദിസ് വേർഡ് നൈഷ്കർമ്മ്യം. ഇൻ ദി ഭഗവത്ഗീത യു വിൽ സീ ദിസ് വേർഡ് കോൾഡ് നൈഷ്കർമ്മ്യ സിദ്ധി. Freeing yourself from the karma. Escaping from the karma. Naishkarma siddhi. Naishkarmyam avishkritam. And what else? Yet shranvan vijaran vipathan vijarana paro. Yet shranvan. By hearing this, vipathan, studying this, and vijarana paro. By reflecting on this, bhaktya vimuchyer nara. A human being becomes completely fixed in the platform of bhakti. And liberation with that. Bhakti and liberation happens to him. So, this Puranam, Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see he has included everybody. Why? All of us, whoever wants to study Bhagavatam, they will have somebody to identify with themselves. For they will feel connection with Bhagavatam through one of these personalities in the Bhagavatam. Children will be attracted by the bhakti of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlada, and so many others. women attracted to bhakti through gopis and through Sadhidevi in the fourth canto. Shri Parvati is how she dealt with as a woman, how she had to deal with Shiva and to other Daksha and others. From a woman's point of view, those personalities like gopis and also Sadhidevi and others are attraction to them. For older people, we have got Bhishma Dev, Akrura and so many others like that. Uddhava, they are all attraction to the older members, older men. So any age group, which doesn't matter which one, you'll find somebody there in the Bhagavatam representing themselves, them in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So so here, what he has done is, the knowledge of the Vedam and the Karma Yogam from the Bhagavad Gita, Vedavyasa has taken all that and added a lot of stories into it and brought into Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why one thing interesting is, when you start studying Bhagavatam, you will see that these stutis also, glorifications, each glorification is different. Some of them create vairagyam in a person. Some of them create jnanam in a person. Some of them creates bhakti in a person. That is the beauty of these stutis. That you will notice it when you read through each of the stutis in the Bhagavatam. Rishabhadev's stuti instructions there in the Bhagavatam, isn't it, to his children. There, they are all centered around vairagyam. Vairagyam is the key there. Prahlada's glorification is centered around knowledge and bhakti, both. Mainly bhakti to Narasimhamurti. Dhruva Maharaj, again like Prahlada, is partly knowledge, partly bhakti. That if you go through verse by verse, you will see that. Kunti Devi is centered around bhakti. Completely bhakti. Bhishma Vidamahas is centered around bhakti to some degree and to large extent knowledge also. In the Bhishma Vidamahas glorification. So every personality is different in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when it comes in the form of stories, what is the benefit? We start reading that and we start thinking, there were people in this world who have gone through this before. Suppose the knowledge is spoken directly to us, what do we say? We'll say, oh, it's not possible. That'll be our answer to that. But so that we don't say like that, Vedavyas deliberately brought the people into it. So that when you read it, you know there were great personalities who have practiced it and who have realized it in their life. At least that much gives you a strength for us, those who want to follow the same path. Their knowledge, their austerities, their vairagyam, their salsangam and how all that happened is inspiration for others to go in the same route. So, also another interesting thing is, you see a lot of salsangam in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Great devotees associated with great, like all the Sambhadam is salsangam. Vidura and Maitreya, it's a salsangam. Krishna and Uddhava, it's a salsangam, is it not? And Krishna and the gopis, it's a salsangam. And similarly, you will also notice there between Yudhishthira and Narada Maharshi, Narada and Vedavyas, it's all salsangam it is. But what is the difference then? That salsangam and today's salsangam. In their salsangam, when that happened not in an organized way like we do now. Is it not? They sat there, it has happened in places where you will never imagine. On the river banks, in the forest, in the huts in the forest, and places like that, that salsangam has happened. In the modern day salsangam, everything is advertised, organized, hall booked, mic, and so many facilities, and now we also include into that. Our salsangam goes like this. Better to know these things, how our salsangam goes, and there how their salsangam ran. In their salsangam, there is no mention of any of those things, is it not? So that happened, you can see, Sudeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit, salsangam happened, where? Ganga River bank. He decided that's where he's going to go. Parikshit decided to give up his body and sat on the banks of the river Ganga. And there comes Sukadeva Goswami to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no discussion about anything else there. Sukadeva Goswami didn't have a mic, didn't have a chair to sit. And there was a higher platform was there. He sat there, saw the picture shows. But even that's not spoken very clearly in the Bhagavatam about it. But that's not important. Salsangam is important. But what I'm saying is the Salsangam at that time and the Salsangam today, that it happened in the ashramams or the great sages, their hermitage or what they said, that in such places that Salsangam has happened. Salsangam is not a speech. It's not a speech. So when there is proper Salsangam, we are talking about how it happens. When a person or a group of people, when they want to know and experience the truth, they go and talk to someone who has that realization, and from their realizations, they are giving the instructions. That is why this is the sampradaya. Sampradaya means this is the process. Arsha sampradaya they call it. Arsha means the Vaidya sampradaya is like that. So you can see that in the Bhagavatam very well. Our Vidura. Vidura left the palace, isn't it? 36 years he wandered around the whole country. For 36 years he was wandering around the whole country, and eventually he gets to Haridwar and meets Maitreya Maharshi there. Maitreya Maharshi there. So his Salsangam happened for him after 36 years. And why? Because when he was a minister in Hastinapur, and such a person, he has to wander around 36 years before he came to his Salsangam. What happened to him? Because what he saw in Hastinapur, he got completely disgusted with it. He was totally disgusted with it. Because he says there, after seeing the politics of the place between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, it's not that only politics now, politics was then also. It's not a new thing in this world, this thing called politics. Politics is always there. Wherever a group of people are there, there will be politics there. Together, they have to do that, otherwise they won't get sleep at night. It is the minimum requirement. If they don't, some people are like that, there's nothing you can do about it. If they are so political that their mind goes only in that direction, they have to have it. So after seeing that in Hastinapur, what was happening? There was no shortage of anything. All of them, there was so much wealth in them. Everything, whatever they wanted, they had it. But still, seeing the politics there, he got fed up with the whole thing. And he saw that in spite of all that, they were not adhering to dharma anywhere. Complete irreligious they were. Seeing the way Duryodhana and the Kauravas were acting, how they were creating trouble for the Pandavas, all those things was going, getting disturbed over it. Vidura was getting disturbed over it. And he mentions there that when he found it totally unbearable, that he could not live there anymore, one day he handed over the resignation of the ministerial position and he walked out from there. And and he wandered around. You will see Vidura Tirthayatrayam. His Tirthayatra begins at that time. Many, many great temples he visited. He went to so many temples, he went to see them. He met so many great personalities in his walking route. So, but what you have to realize that is, this Tirthayatra or pilgrimage is not for seeing a lot of buildings and temples and buildings. That was not the intention. Because wherever he went, he was always looking for where the great sages lived, their ashram, and where there were lot of jnanis and realized souls, wherever they were, he was looking to associate with them. So, what is the idea is that, when we see such personality, little by little, some kind of renunciation will develop within us. We will also see the futility of this life in this world, uselessness of so many things, what's going on here. And a desire will come to develop renunciation, bhakti and jnanam. To develop all these three things, a desire will develop within the heart. So Vidura wandered like that. It is like that after 36 years, Vidura comes and arrives in front of Maitreya Maharshi. Maitreya, he meets Maitreya in Haridwar. In Haridwar he meets him. And by now, the reason is that 36 years, how to calculate that is, he left before the war started. isn't it? Vidura left before the war started. Then Vidura comes back after the war was over and the whole Yadavas were killed. Remember? Or all the Yadavas were killed. It's after that Vidura arrives in front of Maitreya Maharshi. And then from there he goes to Dhritarashtra. He goes and sees Dhritarashtra. And there is a Salsangam there between Vidura and Dhritarashtra also. So you can see here how Salsangam must happen. You can see that in the Bhagavatam. In a natural way, how Salsangam happens. Not in an organized way. In a natural way, how it happened. And you can see here what is bhakti in that Salsangam. How Vidura approaches Maitreya Maharshi. You can see the bhakti in there. So there, jnanam and bhakti, they are not two different things. You can see that also in the Salsangam. Jnanam and bhakti are non-different. So, all these things, Vedavyasa Maharshi put into Bhagavatam. Why? Yasvanu bhavam akhila shruti saramegam adhyatma deepam atititirshadam tamondham samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasasunyam upayami gurum muninam. You will see that verse. Out of his compassion for all others, for all of us, yasyanubhavam akhila shruti saramegam. That shruti saram means the essence of the Vedic knowledge. Yasyanubhavam, one who has got the experience of that, he took them only those who have realized that. It is they whom he has taken. Yasyanubhavam akhila shruti saramegam. And that lamb, adhyatma deepam, that realization which is the torch of self-realization, atititirshadam tamondham, very difficult to come to that stage. It's so difficult for one to come to that level, tamondham, because from this deep ignorance level where we are put into. But out of unusual compassion what he has for the conditioned souls, samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam, out of his unusual compassion for the samsari, we are all the samsari. Samsari means who are stuck in the samsaram, in material life, cycle of birth and death. So, unusual compassion for all of us who are suffering in the material world, samsarinam, karunayaha, due to compassion for that. Purana guhyam tam, samsarinam, karunayaha, purana guhyam. Tam vyasasunu upayami gurum uninam. He decided to give it to us. That these are the story of those great personalities who pursued this path of spiritual life and how they once for all escaped from material existence. And their story, he had to present it to us, their history. And present it in such a way that we will get interested in that. So how much Vedavyasa Maharshi must have reflected on this before he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, you can think, you can imagine yourself. That sitting in that Badrigashram, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Bhagavatam. Narada Maharshi didn't tell him everything. He only gave him the seed, the three chapters. What you know, in the Narada Maharshi gave in three chapters Bhagavatam to only the principle he gave to Vedavyas. Vedavyas had to expand that into 18,000 verses. And he had to bring all these personalities into it to compile Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that is why in Srimad Bhagavatam you will see there that samsarinam karunayaha, out of karunyam only, out of the mercy or kripa alone, he realizes that there is no other escape route from this world. There is no other escape route. What can you do here? We have come here. We have got this material body. We will go through this body and die one day. We will get another body. And the whole process starts again. Where we will take another birth, which body, what kind of body it will be, no idea. What will happen, and whether, what will happen in the next life, no guarantee. In the middle, to fulfill the desires of the mind and the body, we have to engage in karma. And that karma also, we don't know whether it is authentic or not. We will do all kinds of vikarma, which means we will create more body after that. It's the most difficult thing to escape from, this samsara, karma bandhanam, as I call it. So, karma is binding and holding us so powerfully, and there is no way to exit from this. Sometimes if pious activities go to the higher planets, enjoy some time, finished, come back here again, continue with another body. If engaged in sinful life, go down, go to hellish planet, suffer there. Come back again when that's finished to the earthly planet. Suffer here again in another human body or another lower species, whatever given to us. Again go up, go down, go up, go down. In this way, between the three planetary systems of the higher planetary system, middle planetary system, lower planetary system, within this three planetary system, the soul is going back and forth, unable to escape from this, never getting a permanent solution to the problem. So that is why samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam, seeing the karunyam or mercy, he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, because he knows very well, if he has to get out from here and stop this cycle once for all, there is no other way except to tell them what the truth is. And that is what he has done in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why Bhagavatam is so glorious, because of this. So if he does not tell us the experience of these great realized souls, how we will know that there is an escape route? How will we know? Who can tell us this, that there is a way to escape from here? If somebody don't tell us that there were great personalities who have escaped from here, from this cycle of birth and death, and gone back once for all, never to come back here, if somebody don't tell us, how we will know about it? And that's what he has done in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Their experiences, that's the only way you can get out of this. Because when you hear about the great personalities who realize this truth and who have left this, you feel there is a way. There is a hope. There is a hope. But if nobody tells us, what chance is there to do that? So, so normally we'll see here that in the world, what do we normally see? How do we mold ourselves? When you come to the world, you see people who have got a lot of wealth, people who have got a big positions in this world, and that's the way we will follow. We'll be tend to follow that. It's an normal tendency. Every day you open the paper, they'll give you a list. Who are the top 10 billionaires in the country? Or top 100 millionaires in the country? They'll present you the list. And you start thinking, that's a life. That's what one has to go. And but what's interesting here is, majority, a lot of these people who have acquired a lot of wealth, a lot of big position in this world, you see them, many of them, living in this world in great distress. In great distress. And generally, some of them, few of them, not always, many of them live in distress because their life was such for them that they were, after that, what they were looking for was position, money, and some the satisfaction, respect in this world. That's what they were looking for. So, If it becomes in an extraordinary level, it may turn up into suicide. You will see some big people who are very famous in this world, say celebrities they are called, isn't it? And how do they end up their life? Look at them, how they die in this world. Sometimes very wealthy people also. I'm sure people who read the newspapers and all, you can see how they end up their life. Because after doing all these things, they are still feeling a vacuum inside, some dissatisfaction inside. Right in front of them, there's nothing. It's total darkness. Total darkness. And this is the way open to them. This is the only way open to them. What is that? To give up the body. To give up the body. To say this, what has Bhagavatam done? Srimad Bhagavatam, as what is its glorifications are there in Padma Puranam. In two places, Bhagavatam is glorified. One in Padma Puranam, 6 chapters, and similarly in Skanda Puranam also. Padma Puranam, 6 chapters, and few chapters in the Skanda Puranam also, talks about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in the Bhagavatam, it is called Bhagavatam Mahalpim, the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. Before we come into Bhagavatam, if you read that Bhagavatam Mahalpim, you will find it interesting. How Srimad Bhagavatam is important in a person's life. A simple story, we have talked about this when we started Bhagavatam 10-11 years ago, there was a Brahmana by name, one husband and a wife, Atmadeva was his name, very nice devotee, and lived his life simply based on the principles he followed this life, and very cultured also. But he had a wife. Unfortunately, self-realization didn't happen to him. He had the knowledge, everything. He has studied the Shastram. He has followed everything in life as an ideal Brahmana should live in this world. He lived in that way. And he had good culture, spiritual culture in him. Such a Brahmana he was, simple living and not hankering after things which are normally the qualities of a Brahmana were discussed in the Bhagavadam. Satyam, Dhamma, Shava, Shaujam, Shandi, Arjavam, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Astikyam, all that qualities what you normally look forward to in a Brahmana's life, he had that. And, but realization didn't happen to him. That was his problem. And his wife was Dunduli. Dunduli was very materialistic. She wanted to enjoy life. And at the same time, she was not a good match for him. In many ways, she always used to quarrel with him and did not go along with Atmadeva's ideas, and always felt life very miserable for Atmadeva. Atmadeva was finding life very miserable. But wife was very expert in the material life, managing the life in this world, very expert at that. So, so this is all there in that 6 chapters in the Bhagavatam. So, if you look there, you will see what happened to Atmadeva was, he had no children. He had no children. So he goes to a Ganga River, he bathes there, and then he happens to meet a sannyasi there. Sannyasi, he talks to the sannyasi and tells him his life, total unhappiness. Everywhere he was unhappy. And then he says to him, I want to leave home, but I cannot leave because I have no children. Well, obviously in that time it was an important factor to have children, and that was considered in the Vedic tradition as a necessity of the marriage. So anyway, they had no children, but this sannyasi tried to talk to him. Why worry about all this? Take to spiritual life and leave the home, everything. But this person won't agree. Eventually, out of pressure, the sannyasi handed him over a fruit and told him, you take this fruit, go and give it to your wife and she can have it, and then you'll have a child. All that things happened. So, only thing was, he did all these things, but when the child was born, it was a child which he never wanted, in the sense that it was more of a headache than any, it never gave him any happiness, let me put it that way. Like in the Bhagavatam, you will see the story of Vena. You remember, when Vena appeared, that was it, and that king wanted to run away. He went to the forest straight away, and then he sings a song there. He says, if anybody gets children, you must get a children like Vena, he says. Because then you won't think too much to stay in the family life. You'll run to the forest straight away. That's what he did. So that story is there in the Bhagavatam. Sometimes people think, oh, after marriage, we didn't have children. Like that, people lament over it, hankering over it. But the reality is that sometimes it ends up like this. You get one and then it creates enough life for you for the many lifetimes. It gives you enough happiness. Misery also. So anyway, here what happened was, he, after this son which was born was become a headache, he decided to give up that family life and he went to the forest. He didn't think anymore after that. So and in that Salsangam he met with a sage there, and he told him that whatever you have got in a natural way in life, be satisfied with that. Never desire anything and engage in Krishna consciousness in solitude and cultivate Krishna consciousness. Saying like that, he left him. So it is all useless. All other things are useless in this world. If you look in the Padmapuranam, that verses, you will see there, particularly referring to Grihastha, householder. What he says there in the 4th chapter, you will see in the he mentions there. If you look into the fourth chapter, you will see, he says, Putradi Sukhinoyam, Sugadhinoyam, Sanyasa Shushkamevahi, Grihastha Saraso Loge, Putra Pautra Samanvidaham. Brahmana is talking to this Maharshi, sage in the forest. He says, that what kind of sannyasam, what is the use of all this sannyasam? He says, unless you have children and grandchildren, what's the use of this life? This is the Brahmana's consciousness. That is what it is indicating, that he had no realization. He has studied Shastram, but no realization. He says, Putradi Sugadhinoyam Sanyasa Shushkamevahi. Sanyasam is very dry, he says, when you have never had children or grandchildren. And he says, Grihastha Saraso Loge Putra Pautra Samanvida. The sage is telling him to take sannyasashram, to take to sannyasam. He is telling him, what sannyasam? How can you get the same happiness what you get with children, lot of grandchildren, that household alive? Wow! You can't compare that with sannyasam, he's saying. This is the reality, isn't it? So, he says here, Putradi Sugadhinoyam Sanyasam Shushkamevahi. Sannyasam is such a dry thing. You carry the danda and walk around all over the world. Nobody wants to listen to you. He says, oh, it's a sannyasi, leave him alone. Leave him alone. So, sannyasam shushkamevahi, he says. But, grihastha life, saraso logam, putra bautra samanyidaha. Not only children, you should have a lot of grandchildren as well. And all together, what a wonderful world that is, he says. So, this is a discussion between the Brahmana and the sage in the Puranam. So, there you will see that this idea that what has happened to him at that point, that SBL in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when they spoke about that, Vedavyasa Maharshi didn't say it's all wrong. He didn't say like that. What he said was, don't get absorbed in that. That's all he said. Don't take that is life. And that's what happens in householder life. After a while, we get involved in the householder life, and then it keeps on expanding that householder life without our knowledge. What will happen is, first you start the householder life, you had children grew up. And all those years, got busy in looking after the children and getting them established in this world, feeling naturally the attachment is there and all that, got involved with that. Then when they grow up again and you're still here, you want to make sure that they also go through the same what you went through. Even though it may be very depressing, but still, so you get them married. Once you get them married, then you start thinking, when will they have children? That's the next thought. I never had grandchildren. Then if you had girls as grandchildren, then you want boys as grandchildren. Then you have boys and girls, then you get busy with them, taking them in the morning to the nursery. You see all the time driving the four-wheel drive to the nursery with the grandchildren. Because children are busy working. Grandchildren, grandfather, they say to the father, the children says, well, you have nothing else to do, why don't you do this service for me? So, got busy with that. That is what Vedavyasa is saying, don't go in that direction. You'll be completely upset at the time of death. What will happen at the time of death? So, he didn't say that all that is wrong. Instead, what he told us was this, that let that happen if it happens in life. But don't make that as the business in life. That's all it is. If you do that, he says here, if the mind get caught up in that, if this is what the happiness is, if you start thinking like that, then you are in trouble. That is the only warning he has done. Because in Bhagavata Dharmam, nothing is rejected in that way. Because he knows that it is not possible to turn the whole world into sannyasis. If you do that, you will see what happens with the Buddha, Lord Buddha. When Lord Buddha left this world, Buddha didn't do it. His followers thought that everybody should become a sannyasi. The whole country is full of sannyasis. Imagine what will happen then. When full of sannyasis, and that is why Varnashrama Dharmam they rejected. Therefore Buddhism failed. You can see the importance, how it works. If you reject Varnashrama Dharmam, that any system if you create outside Vedam, Vaidika system, it will fail. It won't work. Either it will fail or it will go into complete chaos, like we see in the modern society. Complete chaos, isn't it? Nobody knows where this society is going. We ourselves don't know where it's all going to. Every day new ideas, everybody is throwing, and everybody decides what they want, looking after themselves basically. And ends up like that, is it not? So you can see here that Vedavyasa is saying, don't take that as the goal of life, but due to prarabdham, if it happens, take it. Like that prarabdham, when that is finished, that's best, it's over. Finish with that. But don't get your mind stuck in that. Then you are in serious trouble. So Krishna says here that Atmadeva realized this at that point. So wherever we have attachment, this householder life is all centered around that. Wherever we have attachment, and if it is getting very intense in there, Krishna will smash it there. So if you keep that principle inside, then you can escape through this without getting hurt in this householder life. Otherwise, sometimes when you see some life of householder life, sometimes you end up in serious distress in life in many ways. That you can observe yourself how they get to that situation. This is in the Bhagavatam throughout. Where do you find this? In the third canto. In the third canto, if you look, Kapila Maharshi says this. You know what he says? Tam tam dhunodi Bhagavan. If anyone develops extraordinary attachment in this world, he says, sahankarasya dravyasya avasthanam anugraha. Look at that verse. If you look at the 30th chapter in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, you will see this statement there. 30th chapter. In the third canto. Second verse. That title, I don't know what's the English title given. It is the falling down of the householder. What is the English title?
Downfall of men attached to
the householder. Exactly, yes. Downfall of the householder. Basically, that chapter is addressing the householder. Kapila Vacham. Tasaidasya jano nunam nayam vedoru vikramam kalyavano bibalino vayoriva khanavali. That just like the clouds are moved by the wind, similarly, this world, which is moved by the time, never realizes about Krishna. Kalyavano bibalino vayoriva khanavali. Then, yamartham ubadate dukkena sukhahe tave tam tam dunodi bhagavan puman shochadiyal krite. That is what it is. So, yamartham ubadate dukkena sukhahe tave. He acquires a lot of things in this world for happiness and to get relief from the distress. Happiness means relief from the distress, isn't it? Out of these two things, happiness and distress, we want happiness, we don't want distress. Is it not? That is how everybody in this world. Only what we want is happiness, we don't want distress. In other words, we should always get happiness when we should never get distress. This is the purpose with which we live in this world. So, yam yamartha ubadate dukkhena sukhahedave, he says, when that happens, that whatever he, for the sake of happiness, wherever he shows attachment and intense effort to get that happiness through this and the attachment, what he develops through that, tam tam dhunodi Bhagavan. Krishna smashes it down. Why? Puman shochari elkrade. Because if you smash it down, what will happen? He will fall into distress. He'll fall into distress. Because when the attraction comes for happiness and enjoying life in this world, naturally, you will start working in that direction and you will find that these things brings happiness for me. For some person, a nice house, some person's a nice car, somebody else, it's a nice family life. All various things, whatever it is, wherever, in whichever direction, this attachment builds up for the sake of happiness, tam tam dunyodhi bhagavan. He will smash it down at that point. When Krishna sees that, that attachment is very strong, that is what will happen to that person. So, tam tam dunyodhi bhagavan, he mentions there. And you will see in the 27th chapter also, in the 16th verse, you will see there. 27th chapter, the 16th verse. Evam pratyavamrishyasyal almanam pratibadhyade sahangarasya dravyasya yovasthanam anugraham. Is that? Evam pratyavamrishyasya almanam pratibadhyade sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraham. This is Kapila Maharshi talking about that. In order to get released from this material life, to get liberation from this world, what should happen in one's life? That is what is discussed in that chapter for moksha, moksha siddhi, to obtain liberation from this world. So, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, you will see there many thing verses he has spoken about liberation there, what one should do about it. And finally, this is, he is talking to Devahuti Devi. Devahuti is hearing this. So, he talked about various things. And at the end he says to him, he says to her, Evam pratyavamrishyasa valpanam pratibadhyade. My dear mother, he says to her, I have only one thing to say here, that all that what I have spoken, if you understand, the soul is behind everything, completely in charge of the situation. Almanam pratibadhyade. In other words, one who understands the Alma, completely independent of the material elements, senses, mind, intelligence, when all of them dissolves and goes away, what remains in the Sushupti state in the form of that Sata essence? That is what the truth he speaks to her. Devahuti Devi is listening this from Kapila Vasudeva and says to him, knowing that all those things, mind, intelligence, gross body, false ego, everything, has appeared here only in the presence of that soul. Only in the presence of the soul this has appeared. When he realizes that, he said, such a person will escape from here. And that is what he says here, sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraha. And sushupti state, all this mithya, falsity, goes away from us. The gross body is a false thing. The mind is a false thing. Intelligence is a false thing. And this world is a false thing. When we say false, it is on the absolute platform. They are all false. Is it not? Because they are all belonging to what is known as apara prakriti. So therefore, that has no significance. So that is what he is saying here. Sahangarasya dravyasya yo avasthanam anugraha. After we have come out of Jagrat state, the dream state, when you go into the deep sleep, which is the Sushupti state, where you have no gross body, no mind, no intelligence, no ego, no senses, and no the world, none of them exist. That experience in that Sushupti state, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, if when that state, what is there, that's you. What's there at that time? That's you. And that person is, when realization comes, that you are that, then you are free from here. So, there also, sahangarasya dravyasya yovasthanam anugraha. Evam mrityavamrishya asava almanam pratibadhyade sahangarasya dravyasya yovasthanam anugraha. So here you can see, whatever dravyam means object or wealth in this world, or vyakti or personalities also in this world, or positions in this world, people, these are the places where attachment is normally, isn't it? Attachment to some position in this world, some fame in this world, or some wealth, in some form of wealth, gold, stocks and shares, or bank deposits, whatever it is. These are all attractions for people in this world. And if says here, that wherever our attachment is stuck, in whichever form, in any of these places, what does Krishna say? Krishna says, I smash it down first. Somehow or the other, it will be taken away. Only to get him out of that situation. Only to get him out of that situation. In the 10th canto, you will see in the Krishna's pastimes, there is that famous pastime, isn't it? Krishna went to one house to steal butter. Krishna went to house to steal butter. He didn't get butter. What did he do? He went and pinched a little baby and walked out from there. Now, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to go to a poor woman's house and give pain to a little baby and walk out from there. How will you explain that? There is so much disgust about this particular pastime. And the only answer they have come up with is Valsan Munjan Kujida Samaye Krosha Sanjadahasa Steyam Swadvati Adadadibada Kalpidei Steya Yogaihi. You can understand a child doing some things, mischief. But for Krishna to do that, it is a little bit too much. To give pain to someone like that. That to an innocent child who doesn't know anything in this world. She has just happened to take birth there. The commentators are saying, while pinching, giving a pinch to the child, asking the child, why have you taken birth? That is the question. Why did you take birth? So you have this now. I'm giving you this injection for that. That is the answer. Because actually, for the child it was given, but the explanation from the great devotees on that pastime is, all that distress when keeps coming to us in this life also, it's a similar thing. Krishna is saying, why have you come? All the time Krishna is asking us, why did you come here? What is that? Because karma vasana has brought us into this situation, isn't it? So the word that is used there, Valsan Munjan Kujida Samaye Krosha Sanjadaha Saha Steyam Swadvati Atha Dadibada Kalpidei Steya Yogaihi Markan Bhokshan Vibhajadasil Nati Bhandam Bhinati Dravya Labe Sagriha Kupito Ya Upakroshyatokan Dravya Labe Sagriha Kupito. He was not angry with the child, he was angry with the whole house. Griha Kupito, he says. So, Sagriha Kupito Ya Upakroshya Togan. To finish up that anger, he pinched that little baby and walked out from that house. So, it is holding on to that word Griha Kupitaha. The commentators are saying to us that because they were attached to the house, attachment in the house means that householder life, we all know what it is like, isn't it? What householder life means. In the Narayaniyam, when householder life is spoken, it's like this. Ahaha bahula himsam sanchitartai kudumbam pratidinam anupushnan strijido balalali. Then ahaha, Melpaturi is saying to Krishna, that when this attachment becomes very excessive in the house, bahula himsam, they'll be prepared to do anything. They will forget all other values of life. They'll be prepared to go and do anything. Ahaha bahula himsa. Sanjidarte kudumbam, for the sake of the family. If you ask him why you are doing all these things, you can see a lot of things happens in this world because of the unusual desire to maintain the family in that way. It's never satisfied. Family wants this, family wants that, and endlessly trying to fulfill all those desires. Ahaha bahula himsam sanchitartai kudumbam. And just to keep this family life going, pratidinam anupushnan strijito balalali. He is so busy with the wife and children that he doesn't think that there is anything else in this world to do. Except looking after wife and children, that becomes the whole business in life. Vishadihi grihasaktam yadanam maya bhakta. When a person comes to that state, he says, Vishadihi grihasaktam, their attachment becomes so deep-rooted. Yadanam maya bhaktaha. There is no possibility of remembering me. Kapila Vasudeva says there. Kapila tanuriditvam devahutyai negadi. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti in this way, in the Bhagavatam also. So, here you can see Krishna's point is, because you are attached to the house, you didn't keep butter for me, is it not? You didn't make any butter for me here. But what is that butter? Butter actually is referred to experience of Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti. That bhakti is the butter. And that is what was expected. So the purpose of coming was Krishna wanted the butter. In other words, Krishna wanted the bhakti, which he didn't find. And that's how he got upset with them. So instead of developing bhakti, Krishna consciousness inside, these people, he said, Krishna's idea was that they are stuck in their householder life to such an extent. Upakroshyatokan, ya upakroshyatokan. So let me give a little pain to that baby. He did this, and if the attachment is towards the baby, then what will happen? It will hurt the mother. Mother will feel hurt. So if it is attachment to the child, child will get serious problems. If it is attachment to the wealth, wealth will be taken away. If it is attachment to the name, then you will get a bad name somewhere, somehow. It will happen. And if you are feeling attachment to your body and feel that you have good health, health will be taken away. And if you are feeling that you are attached to someone in this world and you think you are happy together, Krishna will separate them. All these are Krishna's decisions. Krishna makes the decision, and only this happens when Krishna wants to give the mercy to that person. He will do it in this way, so that what will happen to him, that when he gets a lot of distress like that, he will cry, isn't it? So many times you see with people like this happening, they will got attached to the house, got attached to the name, got attached to the fame, got attached to the wealth, and together they brought up the family, children got married, gone, and then they'll think, oh, at least now we will have a quiet life. Suddenly Krishna takes one out of them, goes, and there ends that story. So we will not allow anybody, when Krishna shows some mercy that way, that's when distress will come and he'll cry. And it is after this crying only people come to satsangam. That's when satsangam becomes, otherwise you tell people, people ask, why people, how many people come for satsangam? People ask this question. Not many. I say, because they are busy now with the world. When everything is finished there, only then they'll think about satsangam. Up to that time, satsangam, they'll think, how many hours is satsangam? So 3 or 4 hours. Oh, that's a lot. You have got 15 minutes time. That's how busy they are. So what I supposed to say then? He says, what do you talk about all these 3-4 years? He says, what do you talk about the miseries of life? What else is there to talk about? He says, oh, I'm already depressed. You want to make it more depressed by talking about it. That's how they look at it life. Whereas I can watch 2 football matches on Saturday and Sunday. There's plenty of matches going on there. So people are thinking in all different kinds of things. But only when one starts to become satsangam effective, to have its effect on a person, so many things has to happen in life prior to that. Otherwise it's very difficult. When there is no distress in life, everything is going on very well. What satsangam, they will say. So you send me a CD, I will look at it. They will say, what you got to say? We look at it and see what you say about it. So that heating effect is necessary in life. Like, you know, just like when they put the iron rod on your body, how you feel, the whole thing burns. In the same way, material nature also sometimes put a little pain into the body. It puts something and gives you some pain. So depending on the pain, the intensity of the pain, you will hear. Seriously, depending on the intensity of the pain. So sometimes when the pain becomes very intense, when you hear about Krishna's pastimes, you will cry. You will feel affected by that. So what's the reason? Because this thing what drives inward us, all of us, is distress in life. Nothing but distress is the thing that drives us inward. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, with whomever I feel happy, I like somebody, the first thing I do is I put this iron rod, heated rod on him and make him feel some misery of this world. And wherever they have attachment, in whichever object, person or object, I break that attachment first. I break that attachment. So, how do you know that if that object is taken away from us, that it is a mercy of Krishna. How do we know that? Initially you will struggle. Initially you will struggle, and then you will cry also, and after that he will turn to Krishna. After that he will turn to Krishna, and that is the way how it happens. In bhakti, and from bhakti and jnanam, and slowly it will permeate into vairagyam also. And you will, at that time, the devotee who had gone through all that, he will start seeing that all what Krishna has given me and done to me is only that it was only for my benefit. What he has done. To that, to come from a devotee, it will take some time. Initially we won't accept that. At the moment we want our bhakti on our terms, not on Krishna's terms. At the moment, how do we want it? I'm chanting my 16 rounds and I'm doing my service. I've taken initiation. I've done so many things. Whatever you have told me, I've done all that. Now when I must have a good life in this world. There's nothing should be short here. Everything should go very smoothly here. And when I leave this body, you should keep me there, my room reserved for me when I get there. This is the way we are thinking about spiritual life at the moment. We don't want any trouble here. We just want, but all the great devotees, if you look into their life, you will see what they have spoken about it. When they started seeing the truth and experiencing that, all this planning, project management here, and developing this material life and trying to find happiness here was all ended up in frustration and distress. Prabhupada's life is the perfect example of that. That how everything ended up in distress and disaster. Prabhupada says at that point that all that remains is a list of names. He said, where is my father, where is my mother, where is my loving wife, and where is my children? He says there in the song, one of the songs he wrote. He says, they have all gone. What I have got now is a list of names only. That's finished for me. He mentions there, isn't it? So when Krishna favors a devotee, this is the, and devotee recognized that later, Krishna has taken away everything from me and it has helped me now, so that I have no obligations in this world towards anyone. You see, these relationships are like that. When it breaks, initially it's very painful. All relationships, it's very painful. But much, much later, when one comes through all these things, and when you look back, you will see all this relationship was nothing but a product of Maya. But initially, if you say this to someone, nobody is going to accept that. But only when, after going through several relationships, breaking up, and initially, finally you come out of it, and when all relationships are over within this world, when you look back, you will see, what does it mean, all these relationships with this world? Wife, husband, children, grandchildren, uncle, aunt, so many names, that's all. What does it mean other than that? Now we are running for every marriage, for every ceremony, we are there, because we are all the same family, aren't we? We should be there together, doing it together. Very convinced about that. Ajnanam, avidya, that is the deepest limit. There's nothing you can do about it. When the avidya and ajnanam is so deep rooted inside, identification with the body is so deep level, what can be done? That's the only way we will act. There's no other way. There's no alternative to that. So Krishna mentions here that when we are fortunate, when Krishna decides that a devotee should come back to me, that he has been struggling in this world so much, and he has started becoming inquiring after me, then this is what I do to him. This is what I do to him. Krishna says here. So similarly, what has happened here was that our Almadeva also did the same thing. So, and in the Bhagavatam, you will see that this dukkham or distress, this is important now. This dukkham or distress, what happens? When that comes to us, it eventually develops into a blessing. Develops into blessing. And that you will know that. The person who is going through that, he will realize that. So, if there is no salsangam, if there is no salsangam, or if he does not get to know about Krishna and did not approach Krishna in a spiritual life, the things, chances are that he will go and commit suicide. Can you notice one thing here? The person who is committing suicide and the person who is coming to spiritual life, they are both same type of people. The person who is committing suicide, why does he commit suicide? Because he realized it, this body is just a burden. And material life has become real woe or real, a liability, in other words. That there is no happiness in this world. He has come to that firm conclusion. So what does he want? He says, I had enough of this body. There's nothing I'm getting from this life here. And all what I have done through this body and the mind in this world has ended up in some distress or the other. When it comes to the extreme level, he decides to give up the body. That is suicide. Is it not? That's what's called suicide. He knows very well that within this body and the mind, he cannot find happiness. He has come to that firm conclusion. That's why he goes and commits suicide. This is how suicide happens. Everyone who commits suicide, sometimes you will be amazed, some people holding good positions and they had wealth in this world, but there was something inside them that has driven them to suicide. Why? Because the satisfaction what they were looking for was not there inside. That Atmaradihi, Atma Truptaha, what Upanishads calls it as, because it was not coming from the soul. Real thing is in the soul, not in the body. And body is not giving it. Body doesn't have it, first of all, to give it. But throughout life, they got busy with the body and the mind, and they did everything they can through the body and the mind, and the end, it ended up that a complete frustration. And that is the point when they give up the body in the form of suicide. Now, look into the spiritual life. What happens? Those who come to spiritual life also goes through distress, goes through misery, all kinds of unhappiness in life. And they come to spiritual life. In other words, the man who commits suicide and the man who begins spiritual life, both start from the same point. Both start from the same point. So, both places, the desire is the same. If you carefully observe, you will see here that the person who is committing suicide, in his mind, inside, he is planning something, it was not happening, or he wanted to started realizing this body and the mind, and more than both body and the mind, the false ego was giving him the main problem. The false ego was giving the main problem, because body and the mind on its own is not the problem. We suffer because the false ego we suffer. Because of the false ego we suffer. When the body gets damaged or when the body starts giving trouble, it gives pain, came pain to the mind. In the mind we experience the pain, but behind that there is a false ego again working. So he eventually realizes this, that this body is giving me trouble and I'm having all these kind of problems because of this body, and this mind is also another source of misery. So let me get rid of this and I may escape from the false ego. He thinks like that and he commits suicide. That's what he does here. But what he does not know is this, that just by killing the body and the mind, it's not going to get destroyed. It doesn't get destroyed because he does not know that there's a thing called subtle body inside, because he is completely unaware of the subtle way we take birth and the subtle way we leave this world, we die. Because he does not have any knowledge of birth and death, because he is thinking simply that he is the body, he thinks that if I get rid of the body, I can escape from this misery. That is the mistake of the person who is committing suicide. Now the person who has gone to spiritual life, what has happened to him? He is thinking here that he realizes that distress is there in this world. And he also realizes that the only way I have to, because he has the knowledge in him of the subtle body and the transmigration of the soul, he is unaware of that. He also wants to give up his body. He also wants to give up his subtle body. Isn't it? And he has found the process of bhakti and jnanam. through bhakti jnana vairagyam, what he does is that through satsangam, he get rid of this mind, get rid of this false ego from inside. That is what satsangam helps, to make us aware that we are nothing in this world. That is the goal of all this satsangam, to become aware that we are nothing in this world. That, and when we realize that, and we start offering this body and the mind to Krishna, and in the bhakti part, in the bhakti bhavam, or in the bhakti process, and he will come out of this distress eventually. So both the difference, both have the same purpose. The one who is committing suicide, the one who comes to spirituality, also has the same purpose. Why? What is the purpose? Both have started from the same point, from distress in life. Those who are enjoying the world, they have neither of this. They are just busy with whatever they can get out of this place. That's all they are looking for. Sometimes they become happy, sometimes they become miserable. They say, it doesn't matter, we'll see, another day will come. Happy. So, thinking about the future, trying to be happy. So, the devotee thinks that when he comes to spiritual life, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada and many other great personalities also, I mentioned many times, whichever way they came, which background they came from, or which varnam or which ashram they came, that's not important. We're discussing yesterday Purandaradas' story. Purandaradas is a wealthy gold merchant he was. After the whole story of Purandaradas, if you read, you will see that internet, you can read the whole story there. Purandaradas threw away the whole thing and walked out from home one day. Very wealthy. So wealthy he was, and so rich he was, he didn't want anything. And after that, with his instruments he was singing the Krishna's pastimes and wandering in the street begging for the food. He had enough of that. Patanathar's story, another example for that. Like that you will see many, many people who had simply through realization, they have come to understand that I have to escape from here. When that desire becomes very intense, automatically the importance of the body and the mind goes, and they know very well one day that when this will be the last birth, the last body and the last mind they have to carry with them. So body and the mind is a burden for them also. For a person in the spiritual life also, for him also, body and the mind is a burden. One who is committing suicide, for him also, body and the mind is a burden. Body and the mind is a burden. So both are approaching into different ways. One finds a solution in the proper way, one other one finds a solution in the wrong way. That's the only difference. But ultimately the goal is the same for both, to free themselves from this body. So, so they realize that satsangam is the opening for this. Satsangam is the opening for that. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see a lot of satsangam like this. You can see, Parikshit Maharaj came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam when? When he realized that the body is going to drop. In 7 days' time, the body is going to drop. When he heard that, what did he do? First thing what he did, he threw the kingdom away. He says, I don't put Janamejaya, you can manage this, I'm going, he said. And Parikshit walked out from there. Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he saw that Krishna has left the planet and Kali has come, he did not want to stay here anymore. What did he do? He called Parikshit, who was only 16 years old at that time, held him and told him to sit on the throne and put his crown on top of his Parikshit's head and told him, I'm going. And there you can read about how Yudhishthira left this world. So Yudhishthira left like that, Parikshit left like that. So many instances, Bhagavatam will say like this. Vidura left the palace in the same mood, isn't it? When he had enough of all these things, he walked out from there. So at some stage, Bhagavatam will say to us, this vairagyam has to come in life in some form. It has to happen. So, so you will see the same thing in Bhagavad Gita, in the Upanishads also, as though two people are talking to each other. So, the main thing is that Krishna is saying also, in the Bhagavatam, gopis are also saying this, that wherever two people are meeting there, the discussion should be centered around self-realization or about the soul. If it is like that, it will eventually develop into spiritual life, a spiritual understanding of life and advantages to everybody, and that will be Wherever you go, satsangam must happen. Satsangam must happen. Gopi says this, Tavakathamrudam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashavaham. Gopi's description of satsangam. Tavakathamrudam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashavaham shravanamangalam shrimadadadam bhuvigranandide bhurida janaha. In the Gopika Gita, you will see this verse. In the 31 chapter, in the 10th canto. Tava katha amrutam tapta jivanam. As we keep on hearing about Krishna all the time, tapta jivanam, that is our life, Gopi is saying. Only from gopis, if we have to learn anything in life, that is what it is. They made their life completely Krishna conscious, 24 hours. Tava katha amrutam tapta jivanam. That tava katha amrutam, Krishna's katha, about Krishna, whenever they heard, that has become their life. Kavibhiriditam kalmashavaham. All kalmashavaham means that intelligent people have come to this conclusion that kalamasha means kamam, krotham, lobham, moham. That is called kalmasham. Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham. It is when you summarize that, the word comes kalmasham. Kalama, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham. So kalmasham. So all kalmasham goes away from inside. Tavakathamrudam tapta jivanam, and gives real life to everybody. Krishna consciousness life is the real life. All other life is artificial. What we have created in this world is an artificial life. That is not the real life what gopis are talking about. Gopis are saying, Tavakathamrudam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashavaham shravana mangalam. If you keep hearing this, Srimadadadam, Shri comes, bhuvi granandide, bhuridaha janaha. That unfortunately, he says there that opportunity doesn't get all the time. Burida janaha, they have, but those who are absorbed in Krishna, that is how they live their life in this world. In their life in this world. So, so Akhandananda Swamiji, while he is talking about this Srimad Bhagavatam, this gopi's pastime, he says there that this kathamrudam is the amrudam or the nectar for living in this world. Hearing about Krishna all the time is the nectar for living in this world. What does it do? It creates that tapam or the heat inside us to go back to Krishna. Little by little, it builds up that heat inside. That is the purpose of satsangam. So, every one of us have got a power of dreaming power inside, isn't it? We mentioned that before also. Capacity to dream something. So, it is that dream power is what we call as the mind. The mind is that dream power inside us. So, in the normal level, normal life in this world, it will get absorbed in the business of making money for fame and so many other things. It keeps pushing us. This thing called mind pushes us to do all such things. And when that happens, it will create that movement inside, chalanam. Inside will come from that. So, that you can see even from the young age, the children also, this will happen. When the small child, when he gets bigger, people will ask him, he will also say, I want to become like this, I want to become a pilot, or I want to become an army officer, or I want to become an engineer, or I want to become this, I want so many things. Because why? Inside that desires are already very strongly coming out in that way. So he will start imagining that even such an early age in life. He will start imagining that as early age in life. So, so that is as far as children are concerned. Now, as far as we are concerned, there is not big difference in the sense we are big children, they are small children. That's all. From the spiritual point of view, we are called balaha. Children we are. In the sense that our plans are different. Their plan was one another level of planning. We are in another level of planning. So, we also feel that life is not complete without this. Life is not complete without that. And then working in that way and continue to keep doing that. So, that's why you will see even after retirement, what people do sometimes, you will see they will try to get involved with some organization and get a sort of a membership in the executive committee or a secretary position or something like that. People make some plan, oh, I will join some institution, something, somewhere. There's all kinds of institutions in this world. If you can't get anything, you'll go and join the Ramblers. Something, you'll become a member there and walk day and night here, there, south, north, everywhere. And somewhere in some, because you feel that you're not doing anything, because it has become so much a part of it. I'm not saying rambling is bad, but what I'm saying is there are so many institutions in this world where you can go and get involved, because what you're feeling here is that there is something lacking in life. After working in this world so many years, had family life, everything, and then suddenly retirement came, then you start thinking, now what should I do? So then you're looking, you go to the library, they'll tell you what all available. Hundreds of organizations there. You can spend, then you start realizing, if I have to do all this, there's not enough time left. Whole life, you want to do all that, what they're on offer there. Art society, music society, so many societies to help you, to keep you going in this one. For 50 plus, for 60 plus, for 70 plus. And if you have nothing, not learn computer, come, we'll teach you free computer also. The 90-year-old man is sitting there and trying to learn computer, how to use the computer. All these are programs available in this world. But never once the attention will turn to the soul. No, never. That will never happen. Everything else will happen. Never the attention will turn towards the soul. So here, something is in everybody telling them that something is missing. That something is missing, that because everybody wants to think they are something, and some happiness from that, in being something, is it not? In being something. So, what happens is, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, little by little, that power inside, the power of the dream power inside, it takes a form towards Krishna. It takes a direction towards Krishna. And then once that direction gets established well inside, then what happens? All other attractions goes. Nothing is serious then in this life. Because in the old age particularly, that's what happens. That when you saw this world, there is so many things going on which doesn't make sense anything. But ultimately, when you have a little bit internalization happens, automatically your attention starts thinking that, is this all life about? And that's where inquiry after Krishna begins. And according to, when that desire develops to some extent in a person, attention will turn towards Krishna. And according to the dream what they have, they may think, I may have to go to Vaikuntham, or I may have to go to Kailasam, or I'll have to go to Golokam. All these different conceptions come from that. All the conceptions are coming from that. So, on the other hand, those who have heard, studied Upanishads, Vedantam and all that, they will say, I must realize the truth here. That's another thing. That's also like that. Another goal you get in life. I must realize the truth in this life before I leave this body. Self-realization must happen now. For devotee samskaram, you've got devotee samskaram like that, who have developed that dream inside of Vaikuntham or Golokam or Kailasam, or whatever other logam, whatever we have thought developed inside, accordingly our desire will develop towards that. For a Jnanamargam also come through the Vedanta route, through the process of Upanishads, Brahma Sutram and all, they will start thinking that this thing is very interesting, self-realization, freedom from this body, mind, intelligence and ego while living here itself. Those who are attracted to that, they will go in that direction to cultivate that knowledge. All these things are only according to the samskaram in a person. These differences, what you will see. But the desire is the same in both, whether you are in the devotee or as a jnani. So, something unusual, not from this world. Because when you start realizing that death is coming, and it can come, it's a question of 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you don't know, or 1 year, no, anything can happen. And you also seeing that others who are with you are leaving this world one after the other. It is then that this thought about the next world comes seriously. You start thinking about it. And then, so when that thoughts comes up at that time, in the material nature itself, there is a force to develop that strength in every one of us. In every one of us. What it does is, it will automatically bring that person and put him in a satsangam. That force is there in the prakriti. Material nature has got that power. When a person has had enough of this world, or a little bit he started seeing some meaning to life, some meaning to life, and some dream has developed inside about life after death, and some thoughts have developed inside. After seeing the miseries of this body and the miseries of this world, there is a power in this nature which you cannot see, but that power in a natural way will force that person to take the shelter of a satsangam. It will bring him and put him there. In the Mujigunda Stuti, that is the most important thing spoken. He was a Ikshvaku. He comes from the Ikshvaku, after Ikshvaku, isn't it? Famous king, great yogi also. He was not only a great king, he was a great yogi as well. In other words, he has performed so much yoga sadhana. He has performed, never satisfied with the yoga sadhana. He was very advanced in the Ashtanga yoga process, still not very satisfied. Ultimately, he decided, I'll go and help the demigods there in the heavenly planets. They invited him to come. He went there and then he joined them with the demigods, fought many wars and won all of them. And that is when the demigods asked him, what benediction do you want? That was the question they asked. So it's 27 now. We'll stop here today and we'll continue next week. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.